Welcome to the 66th episode of the Triple Takeover Toycast, a fortnightly podcast all about Transformers and occasionally other vintage toy lines as well. My name is Sixo, but more on that later, because as ever, I'm joined by my utterly gorgeous co-hosts. First up, we've got Maz from Transformers Square One.
Hello.
Hello indeed. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent, mate. Well done. And then we've got Liam from Toybox Soapbox.
What ho? And can I just ask, how did you do that intro without referencing Order 66? What are you doing? What is this?
Because I knew you were going to do it. That's the thing.
And he wasn't wrong.
Well, unpredictable.
Well, that's what we love about you, mate. What can I say?
Liam is right twice a day, somebody once said.
Did they?
Yeah.
Was that person right?
I think it was old Father Time.
Okay, sure. Liam, you're a little bit dosed up on cough syrup, I think it's fair to say tonight, aren't you?
I have been drinking it by the bottle load, yeah, to be in perfect voice for this deluxe recording.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I think you're enjoying it a little bit too much, mate. That's what it's, I think.
It gives you a nice little edge, a little buzz. It's good. It's going well with the big bottle of beer I'm also drinking.
None of this sounds healthy. None of this sounds healthy.
It's not for breakfast, man. Come on.
Oh, yeah, because your breakfast is healthy, right, yeah.
I'm a little bit worried that the cough syrup was breakfast. That's the thing. But tonight we are also joined by friend of the pod, TF Nation regular, and all-round general good geezer, Jason.
Hello there, gentlemen. Lovely to join you.
Hello.
Pleasure.
Lovely to have you here.
Which Jason is it, though?
Oh, well, it's Jay Swags, I think, is the official.
That's the
name,
official. That's the official, Jay Swags.
It makes you sound like a footballer, that Jay Swags, you know.
It does, yeah.
It wasn't that Jesse Lingard's clothing line?
Jay Lings.
Okay, he can be Jay Swags.
Close. Yeah, close.
He's the Jesse Lingard of Scotland. There we go.
Does he do like a JW thing with his fingers like some logo?
He's running to the corner of the bar at TFN doing like a goal celebration. He gets a point.
I mean, speaking of TFN, the reason we have Jason on is because I think we've mentioned you literally every TF Nation episode we've done and Paul
episode. I think.
Yes. Yeah. And we enjoyed talking to you so much at the show.
Yeah.
And you basically spent the whole show with us and the previous TF Nation as well.
I did. That's
so
true.
So it made sense to sort of bring you on so we could continue talking to you. Assuming you still have things to say. I mean, we might have literally just said bye right at the moment that you ran out of interesting things to say.
You'll find out quite soon that I actually don't run out of things to say very often, to be completely honest. Particularly when it comes to toys and transforming robots. Got plenty to say. So yeah.
Well, when you've got a lovely accent like that, who would want you to run out of things to say? That's all I can think, right?
Oh, now you're just making me blush.
Well, indeed. No one gets to see it, though, because it's a podcast, so that's okay. But no, as Maz said, you know, you're a big friend of the pod, generally all-around good guy, and we've talked about having you on a few times, I think, and it's good to finally make it happen, I think.
Yeah, it's dead exciting. And, you know, I'm a fan of the pod as well, first and foremost, as I've said to you guys previously.
Yeah.
Listen to it. Just talking back to the to Alexa and listening to my Sonos when I was having it on Spotify. So, yeah, it's great to actually be here and join you.
Does it feel weird now that we're actually answering you?
Well, do you know, it was weird. It was so funny the amount of times that I talked to so many people at TFN who did the same thing, who would be like in the middle of just like, oh, did you hear that episode? And then we'd be talking about something and they'd be like, oh, I really wish I could just actually just sit with them and have a chat. And I went, they're over there. Just go and have a little chat with them.
Right,
yeah. That's really lovely. But, you know, I'll be honest, I think, guys, that is what's so lovely about Triple Takeover is that it takes that community thing from TFN and brings it into people's houses and homes, which is really nice.
That's lovely. What a lovely thing to hear.
Well, alcohol and too much toy buying.
Does that too.
That's always been in the house. I think that's just what we took to TF Nation, isn't it? That's
cough medicine.
Yeah, we made it a place.
Well, no, that is lovely to hear. And I think, you know, that is what we've tried to kind of make this podcast all about, realistically. And certainly, I know that I speak for everyone when I say that we've been blown away by TF Nation in particular. We've talked about it before, about just the kind of impact and the feedback that we get from people. It's just absolutely lovely. So, and kind of on that theme, we have a bit of a special episode for you tonight because we have some listener questions. Because we haven't done anything like this before. And, you know, we do a regular question on the pod from our patrons. I'm saying that right, aren't I? Patrons, not patrons. That is correct, isn't it, Maz?
Patrons is the correct phrase, yes.
That's the correct
But we have patrons.
Yes.
We have patrons.
Patrons, correct. Yeah. Yep, that is right. Yeah.
Which Decepticon subgroup is that?
The paying subgroup.
Yes, the patrons, yeah. 66 episodes we've been trying to make that a thing, I swear. We are doing a bit of a listener question episode tonight, a bit of a mailbag episode, as I think I was calling it on our Discord, where basically we've rallied the troops, We've put out the word. We've said, hey, we want your questions. We want your letters. We want your emails. We want your carrier pigeons or whatever else it might be. Hopefully, Liam has had a few interesting DMs through his Instagram as well. I'm sure he has.
Maybe.
As ever.
Shame on those of you who have been encouraging him with nonsense names to include on the pod. Shame on you. We know who you are.
What do you mean? They must just know all these lot of random people with interesting names too. Mm. I still don't know what you meant. Like when Dwight from York, good lad, nice person.
Dear, oh dear. Sorry, Jason, that you have to witness all of this firsthand. It's a regular part.
We have asked our patrons to submit questions, but that doesn't mean that it will always be in this format. Like, you know, we've kind of left it open that we would do this again in the future and maybe would extend to non-patrons as well to have their questions answered on the pod.
I think so. Yeah, because, you know, we do kind of ask people about what topics they might like to hear. But it's the first time that we're doing like a proper full mailbag episode, maybe in the sort of spirit of Saturday morning kids TV or something like that. I don't know. But basically, we've got a load of questions from people. We're going to answer them. We'll see where it leads. And that's your episode for tonight, folks. So should be fun, I think.
And Sixo is the only one who knows the questions.
That is true. I have all the questions, all the power, and nobody else knows. I could just make them up. Nobody would actually know if I just made them up.
Oh, it's Sixo's question time, isn't it?
Imagine that. Yeah.
He'll just ask us questions about his collection. So when did I get Granders?
So which one Transformer am I missing? Aha, suckers, I've just bought it.
Yes. I would expect you all to know these answers. So that's something much more challenging than that. In the meantime, speaking of Patreon. We do have a Patreon, don't we, Mez?
We do have a Patreon. That is patreon.com/tripletakeover, where you can just join up and pay us £1 a month just to say thank you for existing. You can sign up as an inner beast and get access to the Discord server. Any tier above that also gets access to the Discord server, where, yes, the TFN 2023 discussion is still going on.
Still.
We have GBCs, which is our top tier, where you can commission minisodes like Sixo's Butlers can, but also you get the exclusive miniseries content, whether it is Unicron Trilogy, or it is More Than Meets the Eye, or it is whatever Liam found at the bottom of a box this week that he decided that he owned in the 80s or the 90s, or just is buying now. So you've got all of that. You can vote in episode polls. You'll get a shout out at the end of the episode. You can ask questions. Like, this entire episode today is made up of your patron questions. So loads of perks. Check it out. patreon.com/tripletakeover.
We also have a bit of a sponsor for the evening. That is tfsource.com. Do check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs.
Yep, and we did indeed get one really nice message from old Instagram. It was from a couple, actually, who listened. They said they listened together. It was just a very nice message. So Sue and Dan from the Sudan asked, as a couple, can we get some Triple Takeover merch that matches? And I sat there for ages racking my brains thinking, we don't do anything for couples, but we do have the G2 Omnibot style shirt. So, you know, you could wear those, matching. Head over to redbubble.com/people/triple takeover/explore. Got it.
Physical pain.
Couple related merch, though. That's a good idea, isn't it, actually? You know, I feel there's a pretender shell idea you could do there.
There definitely is,
or maybe that's absolutely a parent child thing,
maybe a Duocon thing, I don't know, kind of.
I believe they call it in a modern parlance a conjux endura. So I believe Sue and Dan are that, so thanks for writing in. Nice.
You know, you should really mix it up one week, Liam, and actually go with a question from a real person.
These are real people. What are you talking about?
What you implying, Mez?
Just happen to live in across international borders, you know. It's not a crime, dude. People live in these countries.
It's the reach of the pod. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Have you checked our chartable list recently to see how we're doing in the Sudan, Liam?
Yeah, I didn't know we had such a listenership.
Well, actually, I did, and apparently we are just behind the Gardener's World podcast of Sudan.
Right.
The Sudanese Gardener's World podcast is just ahead of us, but we're getting
close. That's the benchmark, yeah. That's where you want to be.
As it is in every country.
They've got three listeners, we've got two, so Sue and Dan.
Right. So speaking of listeners' questions and things like that, I've got a bunch of them here, and I kind of broke them down into sort of different categories. So they fit sort of four main categories anyway, I would say, loosely. There's a couple about the podcast, as you might expect, and kind of the behind-the-scenes workings and all of that. There's quite a lot about our own collections and collecting and preferences. There's quite a few about our opinions on things Transformers related. So like, for example, who's your favorite character and that kind of thing. And then there's some hypotheticals. So like if the world was to end tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe I'll let you guys choose the category to start with and we'll see how that goes. And then I'll choose the question. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah.
Oh, it feels a bit like a Family Fortunes or something like that, doesn't it?
This is exactly the style I was going for. I thought you'd be right at home with that, Link.
Good. Every time I don't like one of your answers, we'll have...
Yeah.
Bing! Our survey says...
Four people agree.
So... Jason, as you're you know, sort of the guest for tonight, why don't you choose the first category?
So how about we go for the end of the world? Was that one? Is that right?
Oh, the hypotheticals. Okay, yeah, sure. Hypotheticals. Sure, sure, sure.
Ooh. Let's go there. Yeah, let's dive in.
Okay.
Coming in strong.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you bring guests on. They're just bloody reckless.
Chaos.
It's not what I anticipated at all. It's not where my brain was going, but I like it. I can see the potential for this. Okay, so the first one is from Private Random. Now, I haven't made these names up, Liam.
No, he's on the patron list.
He's on our patron list. Yeah.
Oh, and you say it, these are all real people. When I say it, they're obviously made up.
Look, when Sue and Dan start paying, I'll start acknowledging. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
You know a Dan. You probably know a Sue. Do you know anyone actually called Private Random? Let's be...
Well, we do know someone called Private Random because he's one of our patrons.
And one of my very favouritest of patrons.
Yes, good. And he submitted this question. It is as follows. Hasbro announced that they will... this is not hypothetical, this bit, but Hasbro announced that they will be providing their licensees with 3D files of the original G1 figures for the 40th anniversary. Is there anything that you guys would like to see from those licensees, like creating new color schemes for existing G1 figures or using colors from the unreleased G2 figures or creating accurate cartoon head molds? So I think basically the idea here is if... there are licensees getting the G1 files. What would you like to see done with them?
I would like to see it done for the purposes of preservation, to bring back the toys that we can no longer get, like the Wheeljacks, the Sunstreakers, stuff like that, and then get them in a whole slew of random colours. You know, like the G2 Sideswipe with the clouds and stuff like they've recently done in Generations. Yeah. But imagine like a Wheeljack in teal and synthwave colours and stuff like that. Just bring those back for preservation and then do random crazy colours of them.
So the literal G1 moulds, kind of retro-engineered pretty much as they were, as close as you could get it, but in new color schemes. That's what you're kind of going with.
Yeah, because it sounds unlikely that Hasbro are going to resurrect a lot of those mods that we'll never see again. You know, like stuff like Target Masters and Misfire and all these kind of characters that are very unlikely to ever get reissued. So like give it to some kind of licensee that's probably going to charge a lot more, but the idea of getting it, because one of the joys at the minute is seeing like the 86 movie G1 reissues in different colors. It's just quite nice seeing that, and I would like more of that for toys that we haven't seen in 30-something years.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout.
Yeah. Do you know what would be really interesting with Hasbro doing this is that the fact that they're going to release that is like, what will the fandom do with those? Because you could imagine, because they'll, like, these are editable files. I'd be really interested about what they would do to these G1 molds. And then, you know, we've got Missing Link Prime coming out. But what would that do if we're in the community point of view? So you could take these files and modify them, improve them, in inverted commas. Can we improve upon G1? Who knows? But, you know, I love the idea of getting my hands on, as Liam said, like a Sunstreaker mold, and then just kind of going, oh, what if I tweak this? What if I change this? What if I kind of use parts from something else? I think there'd be something really fun about that, that you could just get really creative with it.
It's kind of like open source it almost.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. And for Hasbro to do that and to release those molds, because within the 3D printing community, it's what happens at the moment, and the stuff that people create is astounding. You know, it's really nice. And there's limitations still, but I just feel that there would be a really lovely new kind of line that could come out of that, which is a community-generated stuff as well. Something that we've not seen.
Oh, like a remake. So you could use them as like building blocks, couldn't you, almost? Like, so as a starting point for new stuff.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, even just the materials that you're using and how you're putting that together and what you would do that comes out of it. But then you actually, you know, simpler thing, I've just realized, massive scale G1 Autobot cars, you know, scale them up four times, five times.
Oversize.
Yeah, oversize stuff. That would be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be great.
Yeah, because storing a collection is easy already.
Yeah. we go the other way there, Maz. We go small, don't we? That's what
we do. That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah. Make them so small. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, you said Sunstreaker and Modify, and I think that's immediately where my brain went. Like, someone please just make a police Sunstreaker again.
Yeah, I think that's just the
direct line my brain took to what you'd get.
Good show.
I think that'll be it. Yeah.
It's funny, you know, because you've all kind of gone the literal toys route, I guess. And I think actually when I've seen this conversation about, because we saw this news, obviously, that they were, you know, putting out these files or what have you to licensees and things. And every conversation I've been involved with or seen about this, I think people's minds immediately go to, okay, so who's remaking the old toys then? Whereas actually I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be something completely different, because it could be anything. For some reason, my brain goes to stuff like the Christmas ornaments that were done of, you know, Shockwave and things like that. Mm. Will we see a lot of merch?
Keychains.
Yeah, keychains. Yeah. Loads of stuff. I don't know. Just put your mind to use and just think of like literally any household object that could be done in the shape of like a G1 Starscream or Megatron or Optimus or Bumblebee or whatever it might be. And
that'd be a fun toaster, wouldn't it? Yeah,
exactly. But it
shooting
could
out of his chest fence. Oh, yeah.
It would be it like be, Bluetooth speakers that just be sound wave. There'd be stuff like that.
Absolutely. Right. Perfect. Literally stuff like that. And I do wonder if that's what we'll end up with, you know.
Yeah. Could we get an actual full-size sound wave that takes a cassette that is actually a working sound wave?
Maybe.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
A VHS player sound wave would be great, because who's got a VHS player these days?
That's a good shout. There we go.
True.
I kind of feel like Robosen, if Robosen ever did a sound wave, it would have to play cassettes, right? Like, it just seems like such a no-brainer.
Rocky kind of implied there was going to be a sound wave, didn't he, for Robosen?
Oh, I think there was I did hear some sort of implication of it. I'm sure there was something about that. So,
but that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it's just the possibilities it opens up. You ever seen that TV show, the Battlestar Galactica remake? And they had this.
Oh yeah.
They had the resurrection ship, didn't they? And it could bring back the Cylons every time they died. And this kind of feels like what this is. Like, it's like all these toys that were lost. Suddenly, it's like they're not potentially all lost anymore. They could be bought back somehow. It's nice to know that still exists without being, you know, knocked off or something like that. Just hopefully that all the CAD files are there, but maybe they're not.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Liam, and you know, I think everybody's kind of said it. That preservation thing of those toys would be pretty.
But who's going to do higher quality factory stickers and stuff like that? Like,
imagine though, like high end licensees get it, so you get like a Swarovski crystal sideswipe stuff like that. Like, people just because they could charge a fortune.
Wow. Next question, 6-0.
You're not into that
you
idea,
know you
man.
Freaking buy it, Mr. Claire Rodimus is the greatest toy of all time.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I want it in diamonds.
Yeah, true,
but diamonds are forever.
Yeah. That's a different level of collecting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that really is. Yeah, sell your whole collection just to buy a literal crystal Rodimus. Yeah.
But imagine a real gold Jazz, you know. Yeah. not an e-hobby one, but an actual
brick.
Yeah, just
it's a brick. There you go, G1 of bricks. There you go. It'll work.
It's not just Swarovski. It's like this kind of, you could see more higher-end manufacturers taking a punt on something to, you know, the toy would be more expensive, but it might not be identical to original, but they could, you know, do something different with it, like designer versions and stuff like that. Like, you might not, you know, it's granting access, I suppose, to different takes on things like that.
Well, I think that's it. And I think realistically, if this works in the way that I kind of imagine it could, or it might, then actually probably the four of us sat here, it should almost be that the results are beyond our wildest imagination, really, what can be achieved, isn't it? Because there'll be much more kind of creative people in their respective fields that are paid to come up with these sorts of ideas that actually could really blow our minds. Mm. Or it may just be that it's not really fully utilized and we just get some products, maybe more along the lines of like more Christmas ornaments and things like that, that are kind of, you know, that we've already seen.
That's what it feels like it's lending itself to, isn't it?
I reckon so. Maybe.
Yeah. It does feel to be a bit of a gap, though, doesn't it? Because we obviously got the keychains back in the day, which were the mini Autobots, which were like, you know, but they just had a little bit of additional plastic added to them, didn't they, to loop through?
Mm.
But it would be nice to get something that was like, I'm literally looking at two Autobot and Decepticon logos hanging up there made of metal. And that's the kind of stuff we normally get. But actually to have a world's smallest effective that you can carry around with you and stuff like that, that would just
be cool.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, but you already get, like, beyond just crystal, you get licensed Transformers, like, non-transforming figures, don't you? Like, Jada Toys do, like, the little miniature metal versions, but you see them all the time in toy shops, like, made by some other brand, but they're licensed just static robots and stuff. So I imagine it's going to be a lot of stuff like that, isn't it? Just give them the file to perfectly recreate a G1 Optimus Prime, that static or whatever.
Yeah, I think very feasibly. So I think very feasibly it could be. I mean, one part of the question that Private Random mentioned was that, you know, creating cartoon accurate head molds and things like that. So that's, you know, potentially got some, it's like quite an interesting idea that talking about modifying the toys, that you could actually have like a G1 Sunstreaker that looks more like the cartoon, for example.
With figures like that, sure. But then if someone wanted to do a Perceptor with a cartoon head, I mean, they're going up in direct competition with Hasbro.
And well, that's the thing.
That's the kind of limited return on investment and something like that.
Yeah. Very good point. So, or mugs based after the toy heads, just hollowed out as mugs. There you go. That's my idea.
Have we had those? I feel like we've had those.
Nah, have we?
Not 100%. There is the Ultra Magnus massive head thing, which is literally the toy's head, which I really should have bought 2-3 TF Nations ago.
Yeah.
And that was it wasn't a radio. I think it wasn't a jar either. I can't remember what it was.
It's a thing. It's electronic, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. It wasn't the voice changer either, but maybe it was a radio. But yeah, something like that I think I would really like if it was well-made, good quality materials, and a 100% accurate toy head. Like, we get a lot of stuff that's maybe a Screamer head or a Skywarp head, but if it was actually the exact proportions of the toy head or a Hot Rod head, I think it'd be really, really nice.
That'd be great. Yeah,
that would. I'd own a lot of mugs.
Yeah,
but I drink a lot of tea.
Like those Toby mugs that you get in old people's houses. You know, when you see them all lined up and they're like Henry VIII or whatever, and it's all like and his wives, just something like that. But you've
that's
got
not historically all... accurate though, because they had no heads. So.
Well, that's the heads on. They turn into mugs. That's the thing. I don't know. I'm guessing some of them anyway.
Yeah, I have a Spider-Man one like that, where it's just his head, which is like the full shape of his head.
Okay,
very awkward to drink from.
That's the same as Henry VIII. That's, you know,
exactly.
It's one of his wives
on a theme. Yes, exactly. Right, he's not allowed to have a wife, is he, Spider-Man? That's the thing. They won't let him have a wife. Yeah. De-aging him.
Oh, right, yeah.
In old Marvel. They won't let him move on. Anyway, that's a whole... don't get me started on that. We'll be here all night. Shall we move on to the next question?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. So we've done a hypothetical. Maz, do you want to choose the category this time?
Yeah, let's do one about the pod.
Okay. Well, so there were two questions that are very similar, and maybe this is sort of appropriate. One from Zach on Cybertron and one from Sunstreaker84, both patrons of ours. And I'll read them out. Then they're basically kind of the same question, but it's worth reading them. It just says, firstly, Zach on Cybertron says, sounds like it's going to be a banger of an episode. You are not wrong, Zach. What can I say? He says his question is, what pushed you guys to want to create this podcast? And it being you three specifically, was there an inspiration or a lack of podcasts in the Transformers space and you wanted to fix that? Or was it just one of you guys' idea? Love, love, love the work that you do, et cetera, et cetera. And Sunstreaker says, what was 3T's origin story? Was episode 1 actually your first recording or are there lost episodes?
Let's not bring that one back on.
We did actually do a practice run of episode 1, the gimmicks episode, and we just wanted to see how it would work. It wasn't. It was okay because we thought, wow, this is actually great. Yeah. And we couldn't wait to do the same thing again. I think it was just a couple of nights afterwards, if not the next
night. Yeah,
it
was. It was the same
way. We sat down and we did the actual recording of the episode. And I remember thinking, let's just do it every night, you know, because it was so fun. And it was all Liam's idea. Liam wanted to do this podcast.
It was.
We had already done the Great Cybertronian Write-Off, which was the three of us doing photos and doing like a character sheet based on G1 toys. We did all of 1984. We did it in sort of very classic UK and Europe Transformers G1 aesthetic catalog style paperwork. And we did it over COVID. Everyone was housebound. It was locked down. We wanted to give people something to look forward to every day. So we would post one of these GCWO things. And if you check hashtag GCWO on Twitter, you'll still see all of them. We never charged for them. They were all just free for everyone. And so we started with Prime and we carried on from there. And after doing that for a few months together and really enjoying working together that way, and also shout out to Thich Nhat, who was putting those together graphically for us onto the template. Well, Liam had an idea that we could collaborate more and do more things together because it was very nice in that period of time to have a regular touch point with friends and the hobby because a lot of us weren't getting out. We weren't seeing each other. We weren't traveling. There was no TF Nation. So it was the perfect thing to stay in touch. And what do middle-aged men do during a lockdown and COVID? Start a podcast.
Was that your inspiration, Liam? Was it?
Well, that I was turning middle-aged.
Yeah.
Turning.
Yeah. Well, okay. it was It was at the time I was actually physically blind, wasn't I? Because I had I'd had that surgery. So I had nothing else to do but listen to podcasts. So I was literally just lying in bed. And half the time, because I couldn't see, I couldn't change the podcast. So I was having to constantly go, Siri, change. And then she just would repeat the same episode of the bloody Guardian Football Podcast Weekly or play one from like 2 years ago. I was like, I already know them scores. But then, so I was sat there listening to stuff like Retronauts and stuff. But I've always listened to podcasts and always wanted to do one. And then I was sat there and so I just had an idea and I just started thinking about what would it sound like if we did one? It was always with you guys. So it's like, it'd be those guys. We'd talk about this. And then that was in the October. And it wasn't until like around the Christmas, the end of the year, where I'd thought about it more. And I was like, said to you guys, guys, we should do this. But I thought it out. And like, yeah, that's where it came from. I was just very, very bored for an entire week of literally being able to do nothing but lie around, listen to the same episode of football podcasts and video games.
I remember you asking, actually, you know, the message that you sent and just saying, what do you think? And it wasn't like a super long message, but it was, you know, it was sort of contained all the detail that it needed to and just kind of, you know, briefly the idea or whatever. I mean, it's fairly simple, I guess. But I seem to recall I was fairly swiftly, I'm in. Like it was, you know, I was pretty much on board with the idea from the off.
Yeah, I knew you would be, so that's why I went to Maz first, because I thought, man, it might be a bit difficult. So I was like, let's get in, and, you know, I better go in with a long email to convince him from every angle. And straight away, he still had loads of questions.
I
was like,
I mean, I've mentioned it on the episodes before. That was at a time when I wasn't really into collecting as much as I had been, and I was kind of drifting slowly away from having toys and collecting toys and spending time online. Even the Great Cybertronian write-off thing, we were in a... We'd basically finished 1985 and we hadn't really got going with 86. So it was a perfect kind of stepping out point. It was right at the start of 2021, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we're still in the pandemic era as well, aren't we? We still can't go out to pubs in the same way.
Yeah, and of course, my son was very much due at that point. You know, he was born 3 months after that. So my thinking was that it was going to be quite a sea change for me and that maybe the hobby would take a little bit of a backseat. And then you turned up with your harebrained idea.
You're welcome.
It's worked out well, hasn't it? It's worked out all right. Here we are, 66 episodes later and however many minisodes and whatever else.
And Maz has discovered the Unicron trilogy.
Yes.
Well, that's the mad thing. We do have a question about the Unicron trilogy as well tonight, so we'll come to that in good time. But yeah, it's. I was looking back, you know, this is random, but on our Discord, which, you know, if you're not on our Discord and you're not a patron, honestly, the Discord is such a great place to be. But there was some conversation about our podcast artwork just the other day. And a couple of the patron guys, the Discorders, were like, oh, you know, could we maybe post artwork on the Discord so that everybody can kind of look at it and, you know, high def and what have you. And so I started just going through some of the old artwork. And firstly, my God, some of the topics that we've done that I had completely forgotten about. Like I was there was some minisodes, especially in some early episodes, where I was like, wow, we did a whole episode on this. But the one that really got me was the episode on G1 homages in Transformers Energon.
Was it 19?
Something like that. It was quite early.
How do you remember stuff like that?
Well, that might have led to a few things for me that episode.
That was exactly what I thought, was that it was catalyst. Like it was so funny because it was almost like, God, just imagine that Maz did not have anything resembling a Unicron trilogy collection before this episode.
Right.
And actually, I remember that episode just like you looking at different pictures of them being like, what is this? And where it's kind of led, it's quite mad to think about, isn't it?
Definitely.
There's something that's lovely about that, though, because I remember listening to that as well, and just about the moment where you guys were like, or Maz was just like experiencing it for the first time and kind of going through that, which is just lovely. It's really nice. And it is what we all go through that individually quite often, don't we? When we're finding stuff that we're like, oh, that's amazing. And then,
yes.
You know, being able to share that's absolutely one of the best things. It's really nice.
It's exactly what Sixo is doing with More Than Meets the Eye as well, and that's a really nice thing to witness. It's a really good vibe.
Yeah,
but that was always the key, wasn't it? That's what I always said. It's got to sound like mates in a pub. That was always the idea of the podcast, chatting about topics like from a keeping more historical perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that sort of, to answer the point specifically about, was there a feeling that there was like a lack of Transformers podcasts or whatever it was?
Wow, there's loads.
No, because there are tons. There are some brilliant ones out there. You know, many, many, many great Transformers podcasts.
Very long running stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Far, far more than us. Do you know what I mean? We're complete newbies. But I think it just felt like we had a nice dynamic, and we wanted to capture that feeling of like mates in the pub was kind of the approach that we went at it with. Yeah. Really,
so. And those chats we had with the GCWO stuff was just so nice, wasn't it? It was because we were just always chatting like mates, and it was straight away. It was like we're all good mates, and it all works, and we know a lot between us. And these conversations would sound really good recorded, I think. And
yeah,
be very very interesting. And it was. Well,
hopefully it's worked out, hasn't it? So, and were there any lost episodes apart from the first recording? Liam, can you think of any?
I'm twitching. I don't know. Yeah. I have no wish to relive these painful memories.
Don't lose your head over it, though.
I don't hold grudges or anything, by the way. So.
I know. I think we've mentioned on a previous episode that there may have been a Titans Return recording that was done one full episode, by the way, long evening.
On Titans Return.
2.5 hours.
It was a good one as well, wasn't it?
Liam
was
buzzing.
One of my absolute favourites.
I started buying them again after that. I finally got them not too long ago. I got the last one that I wanted of the Legends. But was also, we did one mini-sode on Japanese G1 characters and generations. And we did the recording and we just listened to it and thought, guys, this is
we need to do this again.
We re-recorded it. Yeah, yeah.
It was great the second time.
Yeah. I remember we talked about at one point, should we put the episode on our Patreon? On our Patreon, we were like, maybe we'll just release both and then people can listen to them both. And I think we hummed and hahed on it for like a couple of days, even a week. And then eventually we were all kind of like, actually, why would we do that? Why would people want to listen to like a decent recording and then just a completely inferior version of that same chat? Right. So we jettisoned
it. About
that.
It's like calling up your mate and say, you remember what we talked about last week? Let's do it again, but crapper.
Yeah, and like, exactly. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, we did. I remember, I think it was me listening back to it. I seem to recall I was at my in-laws, you know, in France or something, and listening back to the files and just being like, guys, this is just, what were we on? This is just not great. It just didn't get going. I don't know. It was a rare.
And it has to be said, there have been very, very few occasions like that where we have recorded something and then been like, we were off color that day. And it's very rare. And of course, one of us has always maybe not been as into it as the others on a particular night.
Sure.
But it works out. You get into it, you get into the energy of it, and then you just produce. And it's fun because you have fun. The whole point is, like Liam said, it's mates in a pub. And even if you've shown up to the pub with your mates and you've not been feeling it that day or whatever,
exactly,
you get into it and you hang out with your friends and you talk about something you like. And in the end, you just hope that someone's recorded it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah. The other time.
Yeah, indeed. So yeah, I guess that answers that. So I wonder if we've still got the recording of the first episode. Probably not, right?
I'm sure we do.
Do we think we do? I don't know. We'll have
to. I think so.
I don't think I dare listen to it.
See, I don't remember it as an episode. I just remember us just chatting for like a couple of hours. And, oh, yeah, this works.
It was like a rehearsal. I think what we did was we treated it like a rehearsal. We rehearsed the whole episode, every segment, and then because then it was kind of weird to do it for real in episode one.
Yeah, it was. It took us a little while. I think those first few episodes, the sort of start of them or whatever, there was definitely a kind of like, what do I say? Do you know what I mean? It does take a minute, but we're getting there.
I still cringe when people post online and say, I've just caught a triple takeover for the first time and I think I'm going to go back to the start and listen to them all again. I'm like, no, don't go back to number one. Yeah. I didn't even have a proper mic, you know, so it's... But then people like it even then. Yeah. But you compare episode one to, say, one of our recent episodes in the 50s or the 60s, episode count, not era, and... It's completely different. Like, it's a totally different show, in my opinion.
It's so weird because to me, like, the 1984 episode is the first episode because that's in those weeks when I was unable to see anything and thinking. That was the one I sort of thought through in my head. I was just going over. So when it came to it, I hosted it and it pretty much just ran through it exactly as I had, like, you know, as I thought about it before. So it's weird. That's when I always think is the first episode and I forget there were two others before it.
Yeah,
and we all had the mics by that point, the same mics we have now. So, yes, I think that's a good place to direct people to.
Yeah, for sure. And then it was Binaltech, and God, we all know how that worked out.
Yes.
Next question then, moving on. So, Liam, your turn to choose a category. What would you like?
Let's imagine I remember what the categories are. I'm going to go for
you know, look. Yeah, do a reminder of the categories.
Specifically didn't name the categories because I was thinking...
Oh, did you not? I thought I'd missed it.
No, I did. I named them before, but I didn't name them now because I was thinking, was Liam paying attention before when, when I named them? Absolutely. So what about one about our collecting?
Go for it. That was the one I was going to suggest. So.
Excellent. Good on you.
I heard potluck.
Like you read my mind, Liam.
Now I'm thinking pot noodle.
Pot noodle. Right. So this one is from Darge asking about curating our collection, which I have to say is a very big word for it. in my case, true. Anyway. Yeah. But let's talk about it. So he says, how do you go about curating your collection? What gets kept on the shelf? What gets put into deep storage? And what gets moved on and why?
Oof.
Yeah.
Heavy question.
It's a rabbit hole, this one, isn't it?
It's a good one, actually. It's a very good one. Shall I dive in? Why don't I dive
please,
in here?
Please do. Yeah.
Go for it, Jason.
So to give a bit of backstory to everyone listening, my collection starts with G1, and then I'm a sucker for any variation of a G1 toy. So I'll get a Titans Return version of Sunstreaker, or I'll get a Legacy version and Masterpiece version, stuff like that. But for me, I do create my collection in that all the G1 Decepticons are together, all the G1 Autobots are together, and they're all by their release ultimately for the toy line. But I don't store anything. I have a personal rule that if I buy it, it has to go out on display ultimately.
Yeah.
So I did actually have two Beast Machines in storage for a long time, and they got put on eBay and were sold because they should be out ultimately. So I always display stuff, and that's part of it as well. The reality of that is that now, as is common for everyone collecting, space has become a premium. So I stopped getting every single variation and as new lines started coming out. I'm being a bit more picky now. And then the retro stuff came out, the G1 retro stuff, and that is like, I need a whole new cabinet, let's put it that way. But I've considered changing it recently. I've considered changing it so that I would put like every version of Starscream next to each other and, you know, every version of Bumblebee, which would be quite fun. Yeah. But I love that. I love the fact that you could I've seen collections that are by color, by figure.
Yeah, there's a guy called TFJoeBot1 on Twitter. He very regularly posts in terms of color, and I think it's actually also in character. So it will be like a whole shelf of Optimus Primes, and then like a whole shelf of, I don't know, Bumblebee, and then like a whole shelf of like Megatron or whatever it will be. And it looks great because it's just this huge sort of uniform patches of block color. And every time I see it, I'm like, wow, that is amazing. And honestly, versus something like that, I really don't think I can sort of call what I do curating in any great sense, you know, because it is just sort of stacking toys on a shelf, basically, in some sort of vague sense of order. But my thing mainly is that I just want it to be neat. I'm not a big fan at all of like toys all over the floor and, you know, stuff just kind of crammed in and whatever. I like things to kind of look a certain way. So even if they are a bit crammed in on the shelves, which mine are, at least they kind of look nice, as it were. Otherwise, I would not be so happy with it. Jason, a bit like you, I used to do the whole thing of like, oh, maybe I'll try and have, you know, every character in the kind of vintage sense and then in a masterpiece sense or something like that. And it just got so complicated because it was like they kept releasing more and more, you know, unique things and more different spins on certain characters and that. And it was like, I don't know, it got to the point where I was like, I just can't keep up with it. So nowadays I'm much more sort of what takes my fancy to a certain extent in terms of modern stuff. And then with vintage, it's basically anything from kind of 1984 to about 2005-06 that is kind of my priority, I guess. And then I try and have it in sort of timeline order, roughly. And it sort of makes sense.
In my case, I have the glass cabinets, which to me feel like the sacred stuff. And when I started with the cabinets, I only had two, and that was in my previous home. And even when we moved to this one, I had two. And it was always the 1987 and then the 1988 guys who got the absolute most attention. They're still front and center. They're the center cabinets and at the top. So at eye level, it's the first thing I see. And I spaced them out so that they had breathing room. So it's the 87 Target Masters and Headmasters on the middle shelf and the same for the Decepticons next to them. And I just try to tried to display them that way, and that's when I was mostly collecting G1, and 1988 got the same kind of respectful treatment. And 1986, even in the various corners that I have, 86 are like that as well. And then it got to the 84, 85 cars and the Decepticons from the same 84, 85 era. And I basically had to put them in their own cabinet, in their own shelf. And they started to get crowded, and it suddenly looked a little bit less curated and far more shoved in. And then it really started to get crazy when Diaclone came back into my collecting last year. Or was it this year? I don't know. It didn't feel like that long ago. I think it was last year. And that's all sort of gone in as much as possible. So then the cabinets themselves started to feel cramped, even though 87 and 88 is still keeping its elbows out and its own curated space. And now the top of my cabinets are just entirely Unicron Trilogy and Macross and Mask. And then there's the Legends on other surfaces, and there's crap on the floor now, and it just got really out of hand, and my desk is mad now too, and I've got my desk at work, so it's just gotten to the point where what was curation and what was perfectly managed space has become overwhelming. As a result, this room has just been overtaken with robots, and it's hard for me to come in here and take photos now. It's not a room I massively enjoy spending time in because there's stuff everywhere. And also, my son has now reached the age where I am giving this room to him, which means that all of my collection is going into storage, everything. I might be able to keep one thing out, one thing I don't mind yellowing, because ultimately every other room in this house has got massive window exposure. And I'll tell you what, in the summers, when it's light all day here, it's not great.
And the night, isn't it? Yeah.
Basically, and anything that my son can see, he will get. I don't know how, but he will get it. And he is a destroyer of toys. Oh, no. So at this point in time, the solution for me is everything goes into storage. So how am I curating it? By having nothing.
Yeah.
But my work desk has my TFC ST Commander with his upgrade kit on. And all of my Masterpiece Train Robos are at work. And Cezan just arrived today, and it's glorious. So that's coming to work with me tomorrow. And that
was the last one.
No, there's still the sixth one.
Five of six, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the situation currently. Yeah, let's not go there again, please. With five guys and Billy's two big holes. Okay, let's just stick to the question at hand.
Yeah.
So that's what my situation is at the moment. It was curated. It was very carefully organized. And now it isn't.
I think, though, what's happened in your case, I recognize it as well, because it's happened to me to an extent as well. Do you know what I mean? In that you kind of start with a plan in mind of, like, this is where, you know, how it's going to roughly look. And
dude, the podcast happened.
Well,
that is the sole reason everything went wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so
Vinyl
true.
Vinyl Tech started pouring in, car robots came in en masse, like the entire toy line, and then Unicron Trilogy, and then Diaclone. This podcast was the reason that everything went to crap.
Well, I think I'm looking at
the
Man in Pig.
The Soul Man in Pig. He's still out.
The Soul Man in the Pig.
The Soul Man. Still counts as a Beast Wars collection.
He's the jazz fun version of Randy. That's what it is. The Soul Man in Pig.
We're definitely going to get you a Randy for your birthday, though, Maz. That's all I'll say.
It's all anyone of my age wants at their birthday.
All right, exactly. But no, I'm looking at a whole cabinet of Vinyl Tech, and I'm totally agreeing with you, because that was not in the plan. So it's that thing of I love it, don't get me wrong, but it's that thing, isn't it, where you start with a collection and you think, okay, this is the space I have, and these are the toys I have. So toys meet space, and that's kind of the logical conclusion of it. But at no point as collectors, I think most of us are not very good at going, but where is my collection going to be in 6 months' time, or 12 months' time, or 24 months' time? What toys am I going to have acquired within that period that then need to be fitted onto shelves that are currently full?
Yeah.
And
You're having to partially transform things, because that's the only way they'll fit on the
shelf. Yeah, totally. But combiners made up in combined mode.
Yeah, to save space.
So do you put the wings out on Cybertron Starscream? No, they're folded down so I can fit another robot.
Yeah, exactly. But all Superlink combinations done,
Masterpiece Starscream with his big cape. It's just like, oh no, that's a nightmare. Jam it to the back of the shelf.
That's a swallower of space. But that's the thing with the podcast also. It's made me buy things I really wanted always. So now it's not like I can solve this problem by selling stuff. Well, I could do that, but I want the stuff too much. So it's the one and only time I'm putting things in storage with no intention of selling. They're just going to wait there until we finally move to something bigger, if that should happen one day. Otherwise, I might never really display them again until the kids move out.
That in itself is good, though, man, because like previously, as you said, you would have probably sold them and whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I think the fact that you're hanging on to it all, although it's got to go into storage, which is a bummer in itself and a whole, you know, that's huge. A whole other thing.
All the expense in buying tubs, I mean, that's not a cheap thing. I spent nearly, what was it, 75 quid this weekend just on tubs for Diaclone. That's the only thing that's gone into tubs this weekend for Diatubs. That 70 quid. So now, next week, it'll be, I don't know, Unicron Trilogy will be another, what, 75 quid or something, if I can afford it next month, next weekend, because it just needs to be a quick procedure.
I don't even know where I'm going to get tubs from anymore now Wilco's has gone bust. That's where I just used to get everything from, because it was around the corner.
Like, people were talking about something called really useful tubs.
Yeah, it's a really useful box.
Oh, boxes. Yeah. I bought one of those from Amazon.
Yeah, they're on Amazon. Yeah, you get them on Viking Direct and all that stuff as well. I've got tons of them, because keep in mind, guys, I've got I'm one of those people that keeps his boxes as well. So I've got them all out, but I've got a loft full of boxes. So I've got about 25, 30.
Where you've got loft, yeah. I've got neighbours.
Yeah, well, it was part of the requirement.
Everyone needs good friends.
True.
I'm leaving out the bit where I've got a storage room downstairs full of toys.
Are they called Scott and Charlene?
Maybe.
Do you know how many people I meet now who have no idea who Jason Donovan is? It's really aging.
Oh, that's not right. That's wrong.
Give him a tape cassette of his greatest hits and just say, hey, this is especially for you.
Yeah. Hey,
that's the tape.
There we go.
That's the joke. That's the tape.
Yeah, brilliant. So, okay, I think that kind of gives us some good idea. Anyway, I'm going to move us on a little bit because we've got a lot more questions.
Just before we move on, can I just rewind something Jason said? Did you say Vikings Direct?
Yeah, Viking Direct.
That sounds like something I should have access to here.
It does, doesn't it? Absolutely. Well, you are, Maz. Totally.
But, is that just a way you can order Vikings from? I mean, it's all your cheaper than Amazon or your other really stores. Useful.
Yeah, that's all your needs, from envelopes to really useful boxes, done there.
You know? All your Viking needs.
Yes. That's where all the lost Vikings are. Uh-huh.
Well, look, maybe this next question, I'll keep it on collecting then, and maybe this next one is kind of on theme with what we've just been talking about. So let's keep this one relatively quick, but it's from Chris Norris, and it's very simply, what Transformers purchase did you end up regretting the most?
I feel like that's something that should come to you immediately, right?
Right. That's the thing. Like, I've honestly been trying not to think about my answers for these, like pre-prepare or whatever. So I don't have anything in mind currently, but I'm sure I will think of something.
I've had quite a few, but there's two that instantly spring to mind, which are the Masterpiece Hound.
Oof. Okay.
Oh.
Just because it was QC problems.
It felt fragile, didn't it? You know, every time you moved it and you knew what it was like, and it just did not feel pleasant to transform. Was that, and it was actually the GTR Maximus that we got from this pod.
Liam.
A toy I always really wanted, and then I got it, and I just didn't enjoy handling it at all. I was like, oh, God.
Liam.
I shouldn't have bought this.
I think for me, I'm looking around, and obviously everything I have, I bought recently, I've kept. I've got so many selling regrets, like so many, but the buying regrets are a little bit less. I think I could go into my past history and think of things I've bought off people who I wish I hadn't given money to, and I wish I hadn't allowed them to sell things to me because I didn't want to encourage them to stick around, or it was not a great thing. But I think I don't regret buying a sealed Shockwave because I think it's a wonderful, wonderful toy. Oh, no, here we go. I know. Perfect answer. I regret buying the loose Milton Bradley G1 Shockwave from France that someone, through a friend, had to go and get posted from the same town as the old dude who owned it. Perfect condition toy, right? Beautiful G1 Shockwave, Milton Bradley version. Just so nice, so rare. Got it sent to him in France. He tried to send it to me. The French mail system drove over it and obliterated it. If I hadn't bought that Shockwave would still be in mint condition and would have ended up in someone's collection. And really, it was a treasure that was lost because I've got a sealed one that I opened and it can't stand up. The hose is already decayed. And this was from a sealed box. Did you know that G1 Shockwave comes with a little twisty tie around the middle of it that is sealed at the back of the styro? I didn't know that. It was only when I bought this sealed one in epic condition that I realized that's what a sealed Shockwave is like. And it's decaying on me. And I wish I hadn't bought this one because I'm watching it decay. And I wish I hadn't bought that one because, boy, did that decay. So I just shouldn't buy a G1 Shockwaves.
Yeah, I remember seeing that photo, Maz, when that happened. And that was just too traumatic to see. You know,
top that.
honestly, it was awful.
It's pretty horrific.
Yo, Jason, look, I still have this piece of it.
No. Oh, no.
I've got it to hand every time we're recording. Like, okay. I've got this obliterated.
I was shocked.
Yeah. Oh, on the plus side, it's kind of Marvel UK comics accurate. So
that's what the comedians at the time said, yes.
Yeah, there you go. You always got to put a positive spin on these things, don't we?
Alternate universe Shockwave now.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's gone to that alternate universe in the grave.
Yes, the alternate universe in which he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know.
One
what
eye in the
be.
Grave.
Yeah. Sincerely, I think, like you said, Maz, I got a lot of selling regrets. I'm moving on. I got a lot of selling regrets, not so many buying regrets, I don't think. Because if I buy something and I do regret it, I'd just move it on, to be honest. I don't tend to stick with things that I'm not enjoying too much anyway. And like it would probably be something in terms of like a hideous toy. It would probably be some third party thing that I just thought, oh, this is not good, and just move it on. Like there's been a few of those, obviously. In terms of actual regrets, maybe something that I overpaid for, or something that wasn't in the condition that I hoped it would be. But again, in that latter circumstances, I would just move it on, really. And if it wasn't what I wanted it to be, I'd just move it on.
Lego Optimus Prime as well. Bought it like 150 years ago. It's still sealed.
Mine too, man. Don't worry. Mine is as well.
I bought it because of hype, thinking it would vanish. It's still on shelves.
Yeah.
Did you get it as well, Jason?
I got the Lego. I've got a Creel one as well. Do you remember? Did you make Creel? Oh,
yeah.
We need an episode on that. Who remembers Creel?
It was not great. That was a present, actually. Do you know, this? As soon as you asked this question, I was a bit like, I don't have any regret purchases because I love them all. They're all just so irrespective. But I then go back to my childhood, and bear with me on this one, guys. Pretenders. I just was not a fan of Pretenders when I was a kid because it broke Transformers for me. I was just like, oh, why is it a shell that doesn't move? And I just remember really not enjoying them. And I'd bought one with my pocket money. And then that was kind of, it was just the end for me. I was like, nope, not buying any more of those because this isn't fun. And I ignored the inner robot and that it transformed and stuff. But then fast forward to being a grown up, in inverted commas, and then having a son and rediscovering them. And oh, they were like the best toys ever. And then
is that because your son was smarter than you and actually opened it up and played with the Transformer inside?
Yeah, he actually got it. He would line them all up and he would, you know, he does take the helmets on and off, 6-0 as well. you know,
welcome to the podcast, Jason.
He's not got a bag.
Bag of hats.
But it was really funny. And it was, it was a regret when I was a kind of late teen. But then as I got older, and then I, of course, had to get them all, you know. Is it an inevitable collector in me?
I'm all here for the Pretender Renaissance, honestly. I think we've all been through this weird thing that collectively seems to have happened to everyone that grew up in the 80s, where we all thought that Pretenders were a bit crap at the time. And then we've collectively reevaluated them. Liam, you're so young that perhaps...
Exactly. I hope I'm still the youngest man on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
By a few months.
People say that, and then it turns out to be not true.
But Liam, I think that fits with
half a year.
Fits with what you love, Liam, though, as well, because you know, like you know, it's kind of.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Just tat.
Well, I was going to say tat, but you know, they were more action figure in my mind, in the fact that they just had they were solid so it kind of fitted with that, and that wasn't really my thing for Transformers, I think, when I was younger. But
See, for me, it was the inner robot. I like the shells. I like, they're fun. They're silly. There was a dude looked like a freaking walrus or whatever he is, a long tooth, that guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
Freaking walrus.
But then there's like a... Oh, someone's going to tell me it's something else, isn't it? What is it?
It's a walrus. It was just funny the way you were like, it's a freaking walrus.
You know, if you put him next to the Dr. Robotnik, he'd be the Eggman and the walrus.
Right, yeah.
Brilliant.
But anyway...
Wonderful.
Yeah. Coo-coo-choo. But for me, it was because we hadn't really had like that feeling of how the Cybertronian characters looked in the comics and stuff. Because we'd had like Misfire and all those kind of things, which were sort of, they almost lent more futuristic. But they were the first ones that I looked at them, the Pretenders, and went, these look like what I imagine Cybertronians look
They turn
into these vehicles that didn't look like humans would sit in them anywhere.
Landmine's great for that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But the transformations always had that same like they were doing, you know, like the crab where they're like bending backwards. That's basically all they do as well. But they just
squat.
They were fun. Yeah, it's just like they're doing that crab backward walk thing where they lean back, like, break their back.
But that was the thing, wasn't it? They were great fun. I'm literally just transforming him here, but I just got this, the little...
Oh, yeah, Bomb Burst. Legacy Bomb Burst.
Legacy Bomb Burst. Really fun little toy. But I bought him because of Bomb Burst, because of that head sculpt, which is just so brilliantly mad, you know.
It is.
And we can all agree, they've never done them right since. That's the thing. People didn't like them at the time, but now everyone goes when they come back, they're like, this weird, awkward mix. But at the time, I just thought it was fascinating that they were different. It was always that question of, but why would they turn into giant people? Do they shrink down into like normal-sized people to blend in, or do they just then walk around as giants?
I would say the Power of the Primes ones are pretty damn brilliant.
They are.
Also, I love their scale too.
They're fantastic. I've got all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those. Yeah,
they're so good.
And now you can put them with their other counterparts, like Bludgeon with Bludgeon is great.
I'm still just chuckling at Jason's assertion that, I thought they were a bit crap, so it makes sense that you like them, Liam. That was quite the take. But anyway, we can all acknowledge that. Moving on.
Meant with love, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Who wants to pick another category? Jason, I think it's your turn.
Yeah, back to Jason.
Yeah, you're going to have to remind me on the categories now, Sixo.
Okay, so hypotheticals, opinions, collecting our collections, or a podcast question?
Opinions. Let's go down that
opinions.
Route.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what we've got.
It's going to be controversial.
Yep. I think this is going to be a relatively quick one, but let's see how we go. This is from Riley TNT, and it says, how do you guys feel about all the hate leveled at Rodimus Prime by many people in the fanbase? I.e., he killed Optimus, he whined too much, he was an awful leader, etc. And then
nonsense.
Exactly. And then what are your opinions on the character? He's my favorite. Thanks for putting together this awesome podcast and Discord community.
Rodimus Prime. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. I can't imagine this franchise without Hot Rod and Rodimus Prime in it.
Agreed.
I just can't imagine it. I think it would be so much more limited and one-dimensional without him. Not that he is a hugely complex, but with Rodimus has come more than meets the eye, Rodimus. With Rodimus has come G1 Hot Rod and MP9. I can't imagine this toy line without the inception of that character and that movie. So 100% in on Rodimus and Hot Rod as characters and toys all throughout the ages.
He's also very cool, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I think he's a really cool toy. It's like a
base level.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. And it is like, what they were doing in the 80s Transformers movie and introducing a character like that, because, it was redefining it at that point, wasn't it? And making him center stage. And then the toys that came out of that were, I've enjoyed all of them. Actually,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
Come on, you would have got bored of Prime by 1986 or 7 if the cartoon had just carried on with Optimus. You would have gotten bored. We needed a change.
I think the thing with the archetype of Hot Rod is that it's such a classic as well, isn't it? There's a reason that it fits the sort of Star Wars mold of kind of young hero and all of that. But the fact that they then moved him on to this kind of battle-worn, leader that was trying to live up to his predecessor and everything as well. I think it's really, it's got a lot of potential, that, and it's a very compelling storyline. And as you say, the toys have, I think, all been bangers, no? Like, there's very rarely a bad Hot Rod toy.
Yeah, it's weird. I never understand it when people say he killed Optimus Prime. I'm like, no, that was the writers of the movie.
Yeah, so true.
That's plot.
Yeah.
A wise man once said, please remember, these are fictional characters. And, like, you know, it was a cool character. It wasn't my favorite as a kid. And I remember that jarring moment. You were like, oh, man, who is this guy? But it's this kind of symbol for change. And I think he's so important to the franchise like that, because he's that kind of that middle point where the franchise completely rotates off into different direction, to space. Transformers is always sci-fi. It's about space and alien robots, but they're all based on Earth. And it's always from that perspective of humans and stuff. In season 3, it moves into space.
You're right, Liam. Hot Rod is the best thing that ever happened to Transformers, story and toy-wise. It's just the best thing ever.
I was just going to say the character arc as well that you just mentioned. Like, he goes on, there's a story of him in the season 3 where it's a story of growing up too quick, basically, isn't it? Because he uses the MacGuffin but goes from being teenager to old grizzled veteran guy. But it's a rare occasion where it's very much like Lion-O in the Thundercats. It's the same where he's aged in the spaceship from a child and becomes an adult. And he's got to wrestle with learning. It's that similar sort of thing with Rodimus. And I always thought that was quite good. And I don't think it's something people really talk about, because they're always like, oh, he's ineffective. He's like, he's basically a child who's been forced to suddenly take on this leadership position and because they just start off the series 3 with galactic politics and stuff, and I thought that's a weird thing, but actually it's quite interesting that it just feels very put down upon, and it's quite good at the end that instead of living up to all the hype and taking on the mantle of being great, he kind of just goes, nope, I'll hand it back now and I'll go and have my childhood like I should have had in the first place. And I think that's actually a really interesting twist on that.
Yeah,
well said.
It's even just the way he's, if you think about how he's introduced, he's fishing, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the next minute, he's a young punk. And it's like, it defines him within the first 5 minutes of the movie. You've got this kind of juxtaposition of like, there's a robot fishing and he's a young punk and he flips down that visor. And it defines
so
him
cool.
So quick. Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? It's really cool.
He should never have been in that position to be defending or being around the leader of the Autobots when the bad guys launched their massive invasion, which they had planned and had a massive leg up in. It should never have been him in that position. It's like a child in a position of massive importance in a massacre. Which should never happen.
That's a fair point. It's a weird thing nowadays watching that movie, because I think as a kid and you know, back in the 80s, I'm sure many of us sort of identified with the character of Hot Rod as like the youth element, as it were. You know, it's like the one that you're meant to kind of identify with. And of course, nowadays I look at it and I'm like, man, you know, I really feel for Carp, actually, like the thing that he has to go through.
Or the old bar in his rotator. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Every morning, you know.
Hearing his joints clicks when he stands. Yeah,
exactly. Really, really feel for that old dude.
It's that kind of thing as well. It's that moment in the film you're meant to feel gutted that Optimus Prime has died and Hot Rod has made some mistakes in this build up to this. That's the point. You're supposed to feel like that. That's what writing is about. It's supposed to make you feel like this, and that's what that movie is specifically designed to do. It's not supposed to be like he just turns up and he's just cool. Everything he does is amazing. That's not his journey. That's not his story.
He messes and the up. Thing is, people would hate him if it was like that, because they would call him, you know, the equivalent of a Mary Sue or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, you know, whatever criticism would be leveled at him, it would be that he's two-dimensional and all of that. The bit that in the movie anyway, the one bit about Hot Rod that I really love, that I know I've cited before on this podcast, but there are many cool moments and all of that are sort of the more standout obvious moments, but this is the bit that I really, really love about the character. And it's the bit where you know that he's growing and all of that, and it shows that he's actually the one that is right to take them forward. It's when they're on the planet of Junk and they've recovered Ultra Magnus, who is supposed to still be the leader at this point, even though he's, you know, been blown up and that. And Ultra Magnus literally says, you know, the Matrix is gone, and Cap and everyone are all like, and with it, all hope, you know, that we're done, you know, and you can see them all literally giving in. And Hot Rod's the one that's like, no, do you know what I mean? We're standing our ground here. We're going to go and find Galvatron. We're going to go and destroy Unicron. You know, and he almost, he still has that kind of childlike,
optimism, isn't it?
Optimism.
That view of the world, exactly. You know, we can do everything. He's not worn down or battle weary.
Right. But it's so perfect in that moment, just his absolute, like, we're doing this, you know, and there's something in that moment that really always sits with me as like a great moment in that character's arc. And they all get behind him. And I think it's terrific.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
it's a great demonstration that he does have the qualities for leadership. He's just so young. And I think it's a good moment. And most of the iconic moments in that film of an Optimus Prime dying are Hot Rod related, aren't they? Can you imagine like a Dare if it was like, say, I don't know, freaking Hoffer or something running with
Grimlock?
Running.
I think there's a reason.
Running into the wall.
There's a reason for me that Dare is my preferred choice of the two Stan Bush tracks, you know, between that and The Touch. Dare is definitely my favourite of the two, and it's all Hot Rod related, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Doesn't work without a pink car with flames on it either.
But it's
a proper inspirational tune as well, isn't it? Do you know the bit for me is actually at the end where, you know, spoilers, when he opens the Matrix and becomes Rodimus.
Oh, yeah.
And then and then they turn around and the way that RC reacts, then everyone's kind of just like, whoa. But it's a really nice bit of animation as well, and a really nice bit of the story. The way that they accept
him. Stirring.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Yeah, it's a great moment.
It's a moment that echoes that moment there, though, when he says, like, you know, he doesn't believe the Matrix is dead and all that stuff, because it's just like a reflection of his optimism again. Suddenly there's hope. He's this beacon of hope. All the light shining behind him, and everyone looks at him straight away, and is like, they look to him. And I like that. It's a very visual thing, where they all look to him straight away, which is a very quick way to say he's in charge now. He's grown up and we're moving on. And I just think that's a brilliant scene. What a film. We should talk about that again.
Yeah.
We should.
Episode 100.
I can still talk about the movie all the live
episode
long
86.
Day.
Episode 86.
Yeah, nice.
I think it's fair to say, though, that we're big Hot Rod and Rodimus fans on this podcast, and that will forever be the case. So no doubts there. At this point, I feel I should give a little shout out to old Dougatron, a.k.a. Big Doug, who also gave a question about purchase regrets, by the way. And I forgot to mention it, that he also submitted that at the same time. He was concerned about our bulging mailbag, apparently, as well. So thanks, Big Doug. That's your concern is noted. But you did have a question about purchase regrets, but I regret that we've already answered that one. So moving on. Right, Maz, did you want to pick a category?
I was going to go with hypothetical again.
Ooh, okay.
No, I didn't do hypothetical last time, but I would like another hypothetical question, please, Bob.
Okay. Let's do this.
When are you going to have a pee, Maz?
Classic. Very good.
Okay, so this is from Ricotta. I will read this in its full, actually, because, you know, it's a really lovely message. And I hope they don't mind me sharing this, but it's really, really sweet. So I thought, you know, I just wanted to share this. So they've written, first off, I want to say that this podcast and community, I think they're referring to Discord there, of course, have been a big help for me. It's not been the best year, but this podcast has not only inspired me to get back into Transformers proper, but also give photography a real shot after dabbling in it for the last year. I'm still hoping for more photography talk or articles in the future, so keep it up. For the question, I'd like to propose a hopefully fun hypothetical. After the incredible success of Evo Fusion, Hasbro have found themselves out of ideas and have tasked the Triple Takeover team with coming up with the next mainline gimmick or play feature. They ideally want something completely original, the more imaginative the better. Budget is not a concern, as this is a dire situation that only you three can solve. Please can you light their darkest hour? So what would the new mainline gimmick be, basically?
Pretenders.
Yeah, but that's been done. Got to think of something that has never been done before in Transformers. What would you do?
I'm going to go back to the idea I had for the HasLab, which is transforming playset scenes and locations from famous Transformers historical moments. Like, you'd have Iacon that maybe transforms into another part of Cybertron, like the Autobot shuttle.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be fun if the shuttle transformed into Iacon and the Nemesis transformed into the space bridge, or, you know, like things like that, just from particular episodes? Or even the movie one would be great, like if you could have the Lookout Mountain that came off of Metroplex somewhere and then became... Just stuff like that, I think, would be super cool. And those are things that maybe don't exist officially in people's collections. We'd all love to have all of those lovely Cybertronic backgrounds where you can finally pose Wheeljack and Bumblebee coming out through the grill and carrying energy rods and stuff like that. I'd love stuff like that.
Yeah, I think wasn't it the idea that we'd like had like a Cybertron almost? It would be like a cyber... This was one of the random ideas that we talked about on that it was on a minisode, wasn't it? Mm. We talked about the idea of having like Cybertron that split into quarters or pieces,
right?
And then it could kind of fold open to be like a playset on the inside or something.
I think so, yeah,
that'd be fun.
It would be fun. Yeah,
I think there's definitely something in that as well, because as you said, Maz, there aren't like many real playsets as such, are there? Mm. There are big Transformers,
yes,
that kind of fulfill that, but not actual playsets other than, like, you know, the Beast Wars ones and things. But
it's like MicroMasters.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of the new Diaclone line. Imagine it was done to that degree of detail, but everything was recognizable as historically Transformers related and meaningful to you that way. And it came with toys of the quality of the Diaclone line as well. I mean, stuff like that would be fantastic. You'd not just get the playset, you'd get the characters involved in that playset, and they could interact completely in scale with everything in that world, the same way the Diaclone toys do.
Yeah. Do you know, this is quite a tough hypothetical, because the thing that's interesting about Transformers is that they've done so many gimmicks. You know, there's been so many different ones, and they've all been like different versions of good or not so good, I guess. But one thing that I'd quite like to see would be, you know, we've got a lot of planes, we've got a lot of vehicles, basically lorries, cars, all this kind of stuff. Then we've got the beasts, but other objects and creatures that they could transform into that were just completely from another world, you know, so that it goes in a completely different direction. So that, and do they even transform into robots, actually, you know? But I immediately then thought of Rock Lords, which with the GoBots, which was not an ideal solution.
I thought of the mutants from Beast Wars. I don't know if you've... I know you're not a Beast Wars lad necessarily, Jason, but do you know those ones?
Yeah, I know of them. But were they like freaky creatures?
Two beast modes, basically. Beast and beast.
Totally. So that's the thing. And it's, you know, this is the challenge with Transformers, isn't it? Is that like how they've managed to do so many gimmicks within the current line. Because then immediately it's like auto-transforming. No, definitely had that many times.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something, though, in that, in like transforming into different things that have never been done before. So, for example, we've had real car lines like Binaltech.
Yeah.
But, you know, something there with like scaled, you know, with planes or something like that. I mean, it'd be mad because they'd be huge. But, you know, something there.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Like proper scaled military planes done to the degree of accuracy that the cars have been done.
Yeah, like the Binaltechs.
Exactly. You'd have to down the scale. You'd have to take it down, obviously, because the, you know, 1 to 24 planes would be pretty big. Yeah. But still, it'd be fun. So I don't know, something like that could be fun.
Do you know one? I'm trying to think of how many ships, how many boats. You know, there's a line that we don't have, probably for a reason. I'm trying to remember. It's a third party. It's from the steampunked version of universe of Transformers. The Shockwave. So that's the submarine and the boat. And that is an amazing, it's got a lot of clips on it, which like to pop off. But it's a great toy, really beautiful toy, one of the early third party ones. But yeah, a little mini sub that comes with that as well, you know. But I think there's more ships and submarines in GoBots line than there is potentially, I'm thinking, what, Broadside? Mm. And there's not many, ultimately. But yeah, getting something that was kind of... It's a great thing about Binaltech, isn't it? When people come in, they're one of the few Transformers I have in my collection that are in alt mode, because people come in and be like, why have you got these cars in here in the middle of your collection? And it always surprises people. So yeah.
They're robots in disguise.
It's a name, isn't it?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, it's true. I'm wondering if there's maybe something to do with like two robot modes as well or something there that could be kind of fun, you know, like a punch counter punch kind of dealy. I don't know, maybe that's a thing. I mean, the question was specifically about mainline gimmicks, and I guess we're kind of immediately veering off into scale models and things like that, is sort of a separate thing. I suppose what's weird is that the mainline in some ways doesn't really need gimmicks as such anymore, does it? Because it's
maybe something like a seriously downscaled RoboSend line, like a really remove 99% of the features and either have it be everything is completely auto-transforming, or everything to do with the toy is controlled by an app. So you literally transform the toy with an app. You make its lights come on with an app. Like, you just control it with an app. You don't interact with it physically at all, but you do everything via an app. Yeah, it'd be expensive, but wouldn't be RoboSend expensive.
Could be interesting. Yeah. And maybe coming from a fourth-party licensee vendor of some sort soon, you don't know, coming back to that earlier question.
Yeah. That reminds me, I've got a BB-8 little, it's like a Sphero, if you remember those, and you can use the app. That's
a classic thing in that one.
Yeah, it was cool, but it had a really nice gimmick, an augmented reality gimmick, that when you put the phone in front of it, it would then project like a R2-D2 and stuff like that. So yeah, maybe it would be something as simple as augmenting an existing toy line. So you fire a device at it and it does some message from Cybertron, from whoever, you know. That could be fun.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a development on what Robots in Disguise 2015 tried to do, you know, with the chess symbol where it unlocked the character in the app and you could play the game with the new character, that kind of stuff. Maybe.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be cool. Liam, you've got a lot of different tat in your collection. Have you? You must have come across some gimmick that hasn't been done in Transformers before.
Well, obviously the playset thing that Maz said, that's the idea I would love. But the other thing I would like to see is damage, but damage you do yourself. So
cool.
Do you remember like Battle Armor He-Man and Battle Armor Skeletor, where they had the little tumbler in the chest where you tapped it and it would spin to show like one slash, tapped again, it would like two slashes, and you rolled it back and it goes back to the face.
I do vaguely recall that, yeah.
But I'd love to see something like that in Transformers, because so much of Transformers is about them fighting and battling. So it'd be fun if they could work in some kind of like damage, auto damage gimmick, rather than just be like, here's some paint apps, or here is a prowl that's dead, you know?
Right.
A hole in his chest, that stuff. But something that, you know, like the core concept of Transformers is it's a vehicle in disguise. and then there's a robot in there. It'd be the same with the damage, so it just looked like a normal robot, and then you could get the damage to work.
I'm not entirely
sure how it would work, but...
Could it almost be like the dead Prowl, basically? But, you know, where there's the hole in the chest where he's been shot, you might have a little piece that plugs in or something simple like that. Yeah, exactly. But like over more of the body, I guess, like on the shoulders and the legs and stuff as well, like little battle damage bits that can kind of be removed to kind of reveal the damage underneath or something. I don't know.
I think that's it, because it's like so much of Transformers is that Plague battling and bashing them together. But like, it's easy to lob a gimmick in a He-Man, isn't it? Because it's a hollow chest,
right?
Just chuck it in there. Transformers have to fit other parts in there in different modes and stuff has to move about, so it's more difficult. But I think now the innovations in technology, there's got to be ways that you can set that. Like breaking off parts that you can plug back in, like specifically the way Generations toys are constructed now, they're quite simple and plasticky, not in a negative way, but they're little chunks like that I think you could take parts off and put back on quite easily, not just as like external pieces, but like the Prowl instance, like you could pull a part out and then plug it back in without it really being noticeable.
Yeah.
What about all the gimmicks? Just in one. Yeah.
You have a robot, turns into a vehicle, turns back. You take the head off. It's like got an LCD screen as the head, so you could actually put your own head as the robot if you wanted to take a picture.
Whoa.
Take it off and it becomes a watch. And then like the parts of it come off. One becomes a USB, one becomes a keychain, the other bit is like something for your car, or just everything on it becomes something else that you can use in everyday life. And literally every Target Master, Headmaster, Power Master, Auto Transform, Pullback, everything's lobbed at the Leader Class toy. Like literally the toy does everything, is every gimmick ever.
And if you dipped it in water, it changes color.
Yeah, oh exactly. Yeah, that too.
Exactly.
And light piping and, electronics and sound and movement.
And rub signs.
So it's like the Super Skrull of Transformers, basically. It's got like all the powers.
There you go. It's just, but the whole line is like that. Like every, you pick up a Sunstreaker, you know that you've got yourself a USB stick, a watch, a toaster, whatever. Just everything.
That's the second time you've mentioned toasters tonight, man.
Toaster was Liam.
That was it?
In his defense.
But we both like toast, I guess.
I suppose I've got to ask the question. Would anybody like any toast?
I heard Ramjet likes toast.
No toast! Right.
What about a hot cross bun?
Nothing even remotely bready or currenty, thank you. Let's not get onto croissants, shall we?
I am.
Right. Moving swiftly on. Oh dear. I think we should do another podcast question. I'm going to vote for that.
About Red Dwarf.
We can talk about Red Dwarf if you want. So I've got a couple of quick ones. I'm going to pick up on the Unicron trilogy thing. This is one maybe more specifically for you, Maz, but to do with your Unicron trilogy miniseries of course, a lot of our Goldbox classics have been enjoying listening to. So Falcon Dave wants to know, with the UT miniseries, what figure that you have covered has been your favorite so far, and which one are you looking forward to covering the most?
Ooh.
Kentana.
That was quick.
Sport 6-0 is here.
Yeah, there you go. That's my annual sporting reference. Thank you.
I must admit, I was quite looking forward to getting to Omega Supreme and Tidal Wave and Superlink Galvatron. Those were ones that I was always kind of like putting up there as I'm going to get to that eventually. Of the ones I really liked, can't not mention Landmine, because that was the one that I bought first.
Yeah.
And opened it and was like, oh my God, what is this wonderful thing that has been missing from my life? And I felt the same way about Megazarek as well. Those two were fantastic. But then every single toy I started covering after that, it was just the fact that I was buying them and then covering them in those miniseries made them better. Like Shock Fleet was a toy I never expected to buy, and it was wonderful. It's still a toy that when I think about it, I think to myself, I can't wait to get home and have a play with that. And never really happens these days, but it's one I'm always constantly a few minutes away from grabbing and enjoying.
Yeah.
No, it's very hard to say, but you know, I would go with Landmine because it was the one that started it all off. But I mean, the one we've got coming up next was one I thoroughly enjoyed. And of course,
a good
Galaxy Force Starscream, just for being so brilliant at what it is.
You picked Landmine as your Transformers, as your TFN panel figure, didn't you, for the Unicron trilogy? That was your go-to.
It was just a real shocker how good it was. It was a real shocker. Mm. Same with Megazarek, really. I was shocked how brilliant it is and how pretty it is.
Maybe part of the appeal with Landmine, certainly in my mind, is that it's so unique as well. It's not, there's no other design in any other part of Transformers quite like it. So in that regard, it sort of gets additional props.
They all have that, though. Literally all of these Super Link toys and this Galaxy Force toys that I've covered, and even the Micron Legend ones that I have, the more time you spend looking at them and examining them, transforming them, photographing them, they just give you more and more as time goes by. It's the opposite of the toys that get boring and you become too familiar with them and then you don't have as much interest in them. Every time I spend more time with these toys, the faces look better, the gimmicks seem better, the transformation is more fun, the durability and the build quality is impressive. I'm thinking of Sprung. Like, Sprung was a toy I got as well. Yeah, this is great. Actually, it's really good. Then we did the episode and I was like, actually, it might be the best one. I couldn't decide between that and Landmine when we did the miniseries on Sprung. And the same with the Overdrive Cliffjumper. It's just Roadbuster W. It was like, this looks like a kid's toy. Actually, it's really good. Actually, it's seriously good. You know, they've all just escalated that way. Galvatron is another one that's just wonderful. That's the real magic of that line. They just get better the longer you spend with them.
I still love it. I loved it when you said that this was now your like favorite bit of collecting, you know, from Transformers.
Yeah.
That to me was definitely. Just going back to what we said earlier, you know, about that first Energon episode that we did, started as a minisode, didn't it? And it's just such a turnaround from there where you were like, what is this? To the point
there
where you're
some
like...
funky choices in that episode. I think I most of those funky choices now.
Yeah. What a difference a year or two in a podcast makes, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, it's been rather difficult to not buy toys for 2 months. Sure, one or two things arrived that were pre-orders from months ago. I picked one up today. It was a train robot. But it's been very hard to avoid continuing the UT collection because the other day a Skyfire Sonic turned up for pittance and it's a toy I really wanted. Had to not get that. Stuff like that is like, I'd love to get a bit more Super Link. Like, there's still Super Link bits I don't have that I'd love to own. Same with Micron Legend, same with Galaxy Force. You know, Galaxy Force Convoy would be ace to have. Oof. Stuff like that is the hardest to resist. It's that and Diaclone that really are the most enjoyable to purchase at this point.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's just because I have all of the Car Robots ones I wanted except Brave Max. So
all of Car Robots.
So not all of Car Robots. So wish it was, though. Damn, I really wish it was.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day.
One day, yes.
Right, I've got some more questions from the old mailbag, just rifling around in the mailbag there and seeing what's towards the bottom. Don't want everything to sort of, you know, all the good stuff to sift to the bottom and not get seen.
Anything from Steve from Stevenage or...
Sadly, Liam, no, there isn't. maybe lost our address.
He said he was going to get in touch.
So. Yeah, did he? Yeah, hasn't done. Funny, that.
Drop him a note, don't worry.
Yeah, but we do have some questions from John Pearl. Big fan of the podcast that he is, and very loyal patron. And these are some, I would say, quite quick fire questions. So why don't we take these? And no, they don't have to be one word answers, but I think quick as you like, and we'll you know, machine gun through these ones. He says, "Hey, here's some questions I thought of that might make for good discussions." Oh, sorry, John, I'm just sort of. Put paid to that a little bit, but here we go. He says, wants to make sure that we've got a full mailbag. I suspect some of our patrons are trying for a bit of double entendre here, you know, with this whole mailbag thing. I could be wrong. So here we go. Firstly, who's your favourite Autobot and Decepticon from the G1 Sunbow cartoon?
Mirage and Cyclonus.
Ooh, okay, interesting. Not entirely unexpected choices from Maz. Liam?
Ooh, Powerglide.
Yes.
Decepticon wise, probably Rumble. I quite like the little mouthy little side. I think it
really
shocker. Yeah. Actually,
interesting. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Never would have guessed. A million years wouldn't have got this.
Yeah, Jace.
I'm going to go Jazz and nice. Ravage.
Nice.
Okay, that's good call. Yeah. Interesting. I like it. I am going to go with. I'm tempted to say Powerglide as well. You know, only because the girl who loved Powerglide is such a favourite. Really like Powerglide and. Maybe Cyclonus, just because he's so cool.
He is so cool.
Yes,
you've like merged so mine and Maz's answers together here.
I have, haven't I? Yeah. Just take all the best bits and make it 6-0. Right, next question. Just what I do. No, next question for John.
Is it going to be like a 3-part article on TF Source? Right.
Yeah, maybe. You don't know. Maybe. Next question. Is there a Transformers show you weren't into when it first came out, but came around on later? Transformers show, that was. So is it a cartoon that you didn't like, but you came around on it? Feel free to say no if that's the genuine answer.
I'm trying to think.
I was thinking like the ones I didn't really wasn't really keen on were like the Unicron trilogy ones, but I watched them. I don't think I would say I came around on them. I didn't mind them.
Yeah.
I didn't like them. Some of them were really terrible.
I don't know about coming around on them.
I didn't like the idea of Beast Wars, but as soon as I watched it, I did. So that wasn't particularly that. I'd say the closest thing is maybe Master Force, because I just didn't get into the Japanese style of Transformers cartoons initially, and I just thought it's sin for me. Watched Master Force properly, absolutely loved it.
I would say, actually, funnily enough for me, it was RID 2015, because I liked Prime a lot. I wasn't like a diehard, you know, like some people that really love Prime, you know, they're like, oh my God, it's the pinnacle of the franchise or whatever. And it's not me, but
fancy
I did. he'll be tearing his hair out hearing that.
He'll be writing as a message.
Yeah, he'll be shouting at the podcast now because he's not here to point of order. But no, Prime was fine, but RID 2015 I really enjoyed when I got to grips with it, but I remember my first impression was kind of like, I don't need to worry about this, do you know what I mean? Like I just sort of wrote it off, a bit like you sort of said about Beast Wars in a way, Maz. I was just kind of made my mind up far too quickly on it and sort of shut the door on it a bit. And it was only when I actually with my son went and sat and watched it and I was like, oh, okay, so this is actually legit fantastic. Like, it's a great cartoon. And I think in some ways the worst thing about it is that they tried to make it a sequel to Prime in a way, and perhaps they just shouldn't have done that. And just made it its own thing. But I think it's great. It's one of my favorite Transformers cartoons now.
I love it. Yeah, loved it from the get-go. It's a great show.
I agree.
I'll keep mine short and simple. Rescue Bots.
Nice.
And that was with my son as well, because I was like, oh, because the toys were just, well, I wasn't a fan, but it wasn't for me.
Yeah, not your, you're not the dynamic, I think it's exactly. Fair to say.
But it was lovely. It was actually really lovely.
Yeah, no, I love Rescue Bots as well. So great answer. Right, next one. Is there a Transformer you were very excited about at the time, but now not so much?
Oh, probably loads. Probably most of the Transformers I own, like the newer ones. Right. You buy them and you're dead excited till you get them. Like, oh, that's cool. And then you
on the shelf.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a bit controversial and go back to, I'm going to say G1 Megatron, because...
Wow.
Yeah. And it's ooh, because...
Excuse me.
I know, exactly. But it was that thing where, because I'd...
Is that controversial opinions, didn't I?
Grown up with the comic and seen him, how he looked in the comic.
Right.
And then got, and had, you know... Didn't know about Diaclone, didn't know about the heritage of the man and the bot. And when my brother got him, actually, and I was like, what is that? You know, just with his wide-legged stance and all this kind of stuff. And again, it was me as a youth looking at it and just like, just didn't, compared to me sitting there with my Optimus Prime going, this is cool. That isn't cool. That was it. Oof. I won't say it's the case now, obviously, because my brother...
That's his face.
I know. Sorry, Maz.
It's like there's ash in my mouth.
Next question was, which podcast host did you formerly like and now...
Did you rapidly turn around?
Yeah. Exactly. I think for me, I'm going to pick a more modern one. And look, do you know, I don't dislike this toy at all. I still like it. But I think for me, unfortunately, it's the Ark. I was so excited about this thing when it was announced. Like, I couldn't even tell you how excited I was. I was like, oh my God, it's an Ark toy, first of all, like, incredible. It looks brilliant. You know, the last Autobot reference, I was like, that is so clever. You know, oh my God, it's got a little mainframe, you know, all of this. I was like, full hype central. And then I got it and I was just kind of, I've talked about this before, so I'll keep it brief, but I was just a bit kind of like, what else does it do other than just being kind of big and looking cool? Yeah, and I don't know, it just left me a little bit kind of cold. And I do like it, but I don't love it. I think that's the thing. And I wanted to love it. So that would be mine.
Car Robots Gigatron for me.
Ooh, well, yeah.
RID 2000 Megatron. Thought it was going to be everything that the rest of the line is. Unique mold for this. I mean, it turns into a hand and like... Dick Dastardly's vehicle. I mean, it should have been amazing. And the robot mode is glorious. But yeah, every interaction of me with that toy was like, this is horrid. And then it started to flake, and it was just like, it doesn't even look like it did when it was in the box 10 minutes ago. Just, ugh, back in the box you go. Hated it. But it's gorgeous. In Robot Mode, yeah. It's simply beautiful, and it must be owned.
Because I think I told the story when I first got that, when it came out, someone gave it me as a gift, and it's one of those gifts, those rare gifts where you're disappointed by it, because you're like, ah, I don't like this toy at all. Now I really like it. It's different.
I like it.
And it grew on me a lot later. It took a long, like years for it to turn around, but...
I don't have the freedom to play with it to get to that point, just because it's just going to deteriorate and deteriorate, and I just don't want to spend the time with it. Unless I do that and it just falls apart chrome-wise and I start to love it as a toy and then I get a really nice one. But maybe, I don't know.
Have that be your one toy that stays out.
Yeah, you don't mind getting sunlight damage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a terrible idea. I want it to be a terrible idea, and I want to hate that idea, but it's not.
Six modes,
therefore,
man.
I now hate you for it.
Right, sure. You passed on the hatred. Okay.
Brilliant.
Cool.
He hopes
nice.
You choke.
Win-win. Good. Yep.
He's forgotten about Megatron. Okay. Good.
Yeah, exactly. Don't mention it. Right, next question. If you could collect one Transformer line outside of Generation 1 and Masterpiece, what would it be? Maz, I think I know your answer.
You're expecting me to say Superlink?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Are you not?
Yeah, but can you imagine not having Car Robots JRX?
Well.
And Black Convoy and God Magnus and Super Fire Convoy? It's a really hard question. If
it
I
is
could
a hard
just
question.
Collect one outside of G1.
One line.
Screw Masterpiece.
Yeah. I was going to say.
It's only the trains I like these days and skids. So,
I think it is. It's a sort of presumption that we would collect G1 and yeah. Masterpiece.
That question comes from 2016, weren't it, Charles?
Right.
No, I think it's a serious toss-up between Car Robots and Superlink.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Jace?
Immediately, Titans Return. 100%.
Oh, nice. Damn you. What a good answer.
We should do an episode on that.
I love Titans Return. Absolutely.
Let
it.
Us never speak of this again.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
God, I thought Maz had frozen in rage.
Yeah, I
have frozen in rage.
Right.
It's rich of him to say that. He thinks it's too soon. 6 hours to joke about that.
I can joke about it. It's fine.
That's a really
laugh at your cry.
Totally forgot
thing.
About Titans Return. Yeah, it's all Headmasters, but they're so good.
They're great, and the play value is wonderful.
LG toys are just some of the last premium mainline Transformers we got.
Yeah, they're great.
What about you, Liam?
Oh, see, I don't collect Masterpiece anymore, but I do pick up a lot of generations. So it'd probably be the LG stuff. Like a lot of that was really good, but. That's a bit of a cheat because it covers so much ground. But,
right.
But I don't know, maybe the Unite Warriors, because I think some of those are just really fun. They are like way better than the Combiner Wars stuff. But.
I'm just holding up LG Blur. Like, it's epic.
That's
it
a great
has
toy.
Not been surpassed.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Everything about it is perfect.
It's just amazing how much better it is than the Titans Return.
So much better.
It is a good toy.
It's just paint.
I actually own that one now. I got enabled as a result of the Titans Return episode.
Well, at least something positive came out of it.
Yeah. It's a good toy. I love it. So, but that would not be my answer. I think my answer would be Beast Wars.
Of course.
Very simply. It would have to be, I think. Just the for me, I have as much nostalgia for Beast Wars as I do for G1. So if I could collect two toy lines only, it would be G1 and Beast Wars, I think. I just love it. I love those toys. I love even the crap ones, I kind of have a lot of it. And there are some crap ones I have some affection for. So it would have to be Beast Wars, I think, for me.
I'm gonna go with Car Robots. I think that'll be the one.
Yeah, it's a good choice, man. Yeah. Good choice. Mm.
Imagine not having Car Robots, Mark Alert, or JRX. Imagine.
No, I'm into it. It's a good. I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, no Unicron Trilogy. But Beast Wars.
How lucky are we to have that choice, though? But it's just there are so many points in history that we could just focus on and they'd be amazing. Lots of toy lines don't have that.
Part of what makes this toy line so amazing, yeah.
Although Sixo does now have to keep Supreme Cheetor, so.
Do I, though? Because it's that's Beast Machines, and
good
it's
point.
Still in the box.
Yeah, valid. Yeah,
still in the
valid.
Box.
It's also Triple Takeover canon. You kind of have to keep it. Yeah.
I nearly cited it as my most regretted purchase, actually, but I did consider it.
I would
it.
Understand that, yeah.
I bet you almost didn't actually bloody purchase it. You got it for so cheap.
That's true, yes.
Was it like 30p and a packet of Hubba Bubba or something you gave Christian?
The haggling got down to the point of the vendor paying me to take it away almost. So yes, it was getting
your
to
whole
that
angle
point.
Was genius. It's like you don't want to have to take this home, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I did say that, and it worked. It worked. He literally went, no, I don't. You're right.
That'll be the most wanted toy at next year's TFN. Just watch.
I'm going to open it, man. I'm going to have good fun with it. I keep saying I'm going to open this thing and make a video of it or something. I've got to gas it up for sure. Right. Next one. Real quick one. And this should be an easy one, but I feel like I've got to answer this. Favorite Transformers color palette?
1988 Decepticon.
And you were going to say that. Yeah. Yeah. It's podcast colors, isn't it? It's just, what we...
Decepticon Six-Wing Micromaster. Exactly. That's perfection.
Yeah. So they uniquely knew Transformers as well.
They knew what we were going to say.
Yeah. Jason, you got something to add to that? To anything different?
No, I would agree, actually. The only I was just thinking of, like, the primary color scheme of 84, but that's...
It's a lot of red, isn't it?
It's red. Yeah. It's red, silvers, and blues, ultimately.
Yeah.
And then suddenly yellow. Yeah. And then suddenly it goes quite wide, you know. You said, it gets a bit more consistent a bit later on, doesn't it?
It does. I just think when you look at a mix of toys of, let's say, G1, Submarauder, Six Shot, who else? Slug Slinger, Dreadwind,
Spinister.
Bomburst, Spinister.
They're all the
Seacons.
Same hue.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. Seeing all of those guys.
Once you get to that late 80s era and you get all those United Colors of Benetton colors, and it just, when you look at it, you just feel like, it feels like summer. It's just, for some reason, all those bright colors, and it's so colorful, and it just looks like you remember those chewing gum machines you used to get on walls outside of shops, and it was just like the little balls of just colors. That's what it reminds me of. All that stuff.
Totally.
Just amazing, beautiful colors.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so quintessentially Transformers as well, which is why I love it. So now, I do want to, at this point, just mention, I'm just skimming through, there is a question from Dog Lunch UK, and I feel like I want to mention this one.
Love that
guy. For two reasons. Firstly, Dog Lunch UK is the best Transformers-related username I think I've ever heard of any user on any Discord.
Wouldn't be the same without the UK, would it? It's a genius
defined
combination.
It really is. Just absolutely makes it. And so Dog Lunch UK does indeed reference the episode Megatron's Master Plan about dog lunches. And it's incredible. Yeah, really, really good. So his question is so good, though. Oh, this is the reason I wanted to mention it, is that he signs off as Liam Ben from Benidorm, which I thought would tickle you. There you go.
Cross that one off the list.
Yeah, you got that in your pocket already for next time, have you?
Yeah. I was planning on using it. I was thinking about using it the other day, and I was like, have I used it already? I mean, have I had a message from this person?
Right.
To clarify.
Busted.
To clarify here,
Oh, dear. But no, what I was going to say is that there are some questions like this one, which I'm going to keep in my back pocket, actually, because I think this, actually, reading it again now, is such a great question. And I think I said this to Dog Lunch in DMs and stuff, that we could get a whole minisode, maybe even episode, out of this particular question. So I won't spoil it now. We'll come back to it another time. And I think, you know, there are going to be other questions that we won't get to quite clearly tonight, but we can absolutely come back and do another of these episodes as well. So, and we'll save them for that. So let's have a look at what else is in there. Have a little fumble through the mailbag. Any particular theme that you guys want to go on? Maz, do you want to pick another theme?
Are there any more about the podcast?
Yeah, we can do that. From EMH Richard, how do you decide what topics to talk about?
It's the first thing we agree minutes before an episode is due to be re-recorded.
I was going to say.
It's the last minute scramble of, or something that just came out that 6-0 is inhumanly enthusiastic about, having just landed 5 seconds ago, because he needs material for his written article. So he forces us to go through the discussion, and then he's got all the discussion points and he writes an article. That's how it happens.
That's a very cynical
take on how this happens. I don't think it's
6-0 Corp is a cynical organization.
Didn't you post links to 3 brand new articles today on the Discord? Is that today? It's 3 all at once.
I had a productive afternoon, it's fair to say. But that's by the by. No, I think you're right. Sometimes we do decide these things a bit last minute, don't we? But that's sort of part of the fun of it as well. Because I think you've got to have, well, certainly in our case, we want to have that genuine enthusiasm for what we're talking about. Yeah. I know there's been times where we've talked about lining up a particular topic, and then on the day we're like, do you know, I'm actually just not feeling it. Do you know what I mean? Today, like, I just don't really want to talk about that thing. And what about if we did this?
That was Transformers the movie, because there were occasions where we could have done it and it just didn't feel like the right time. And that was an episode that needed everything. And I think we gave it everything when it came up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I think, yeah, sometimes it is very lastminute.com, but kind of purposefully so, to kind of give it that energy. And there are times where we line it up quite a bit in advance. I think that's fair too. Mm-hmm.
Maybe based on episode number sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, like number 50, it's going to be a big one. We knew that. And sometimes, you know, when it involves guests, it takes a little while to kind of to pan out, like the Hasbro app and things like that. And as you said, Maz, sometimes I think it's just, oh, something's happened today.
Yep.
Like they've revealed a pink hot rod or something, or missing link, and let's talk about it. So,
and let's be honest, there are times where we just have no bloody idea. It's like, guys, what are we going to do here?
And very then Sixo pulls out a Beast Wars topic. What about Fusors?
Is that an impression of me?
Yeah.
It's uncanny. Yeah,
but when he had not said it funny, like Fusors or something like that.
Fusors.
That's how Sixo pronounces words, isn't it?
Fuzzers. Liam, I can say Fusors, thank you. You know, what is this? Some sort of mastodon?
Ooh. Is there a Mastodon Fusor?
Mastodon. Wow.
But do you know what the other... Not Mastodon. Randomly, I remember today, in one of the articles that I wrote, I wrote the word behemoth. And
the what?
I can't even say it now. No. That's the thing. No, I still can't say it. But I remember...
What was that about a moth?
I remember saying... I think it was Bemoeth. Was it Bemoeth that I came out with?
Bemoeth.
I remember saying Bemoeth. And that being... like a new Fusor or something. Sounds like a Fusor.
A mower and a moth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the next episode, moth. Just saying different, each of us saying different words and how we pronounce
maybe
them.
So. Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. Hey, I'm the one that mispronounces things. You got to get your own shtick around here.
That's, get your own aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think I do say that, don't I? Yeah. Oh, dear. What am I like? Anyway, moving hastily on, let's pick another question, shall we? Should we do a bit of collecting, a bit of our collections?
Yeah, I'd be up for that. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. It's in the old mailbag here. Okay, so this is a hard one, maybe, but might be interesting. Let's see. From Tiger Track 2003, do you ever experience collector burnout? Either being overwhelmed by the amount of product put out by companies or by how much stuff, in capital letters, you own. If so, how do you get out of your rut?
100%. Oh, it's happened so many times to me. I get out of the rut by selling toys, storing toys, taking up a different hobby and becoming obsessed with that for months, weeks, years. And I've done it repeatedly. And it's probably going to happen now because my toys are going into storage because they were overwhelming me. Even without having to give this room up, I just have too much in here. I just have too much stuff. And when you need storage, it's almost like you've got too much. You can't appreciate it all. You can't have it all out. I'm very much with Jason on this, that if I buy something, I want to display it. I don't just want to buy it and put it away because it's a completely pointless purchase. I don't expect to be around for enough years to be able to give the kind of appreciation that I like to all the toys I currently have in my possession. So yeah, that's how I will probably end up doing. And I don't know what the next thing will be. It's almost like I feel like work will become a passion of mine more, like get into what I do at work a bit more in the next few months because there will be no toys around. But yeah, definitely a yes from me on those.
Yeah, I would say it's a yes. In fact, I remember talking to you, Maz, at TFN briefly about this. I've had where I've just been like, I've got so much. Is this too much? Do I want all this? And I really think about it. And it's like, maybe I should just get rid of it. But whenever I get to that point, I actually always find myself taking a step back and just either looking at my collection or this is very nerdy, but I've got a database of my collection as well. And I just start skimming through it. And I love it again because I'm literally just, it's like it takes me out of it because I'm looking at it on like an iPad or my iPhone or whatever. And I just immediately get this really a lovely feeling of like, oh, this stuff is so cool.
It's a hell of a drug, Jason, isn't it?
But it does. It's like, do you know, it is what you guys have gone through on the pod where you've like kind of got a new toy line and then you've experienced it and got that buzz from it ultimately. And I think when you collect like we all do, inevitably you can lose that because it becomes this kind of just like, oh, I've got this. Oh, I've got it. Oh, I need another hit type thing, you know, and that's where it can become a bit unhealthy. But I think if I got to the point where I was just getting something and putting it straight into storage, then I'd be like, okay, this is yeah. not how I want to collect.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's skipping all the in-between enjoyable steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the purchase hit and there's the inevitable storing because you can't display it. But what about all of the elements of enjoying it, displaying it, photographing it, talking about it, that kind of stuff?
I think yep. that's it for me. I think, yeah, I often think, how would this hobby be for me if I didn't have the sort of photography angle and things like that? Would I enjoy it in the same way? It's a hard question, definitely. I think the photography is ultimately what keeps me active and engaged with a lot of my collection, and that's great. I'm very appreciative of that. So for my part, no, I don't really get collector burnout. I don't think I have stepped away in the past, but I think I'm sort of like waist deep in it all now that I'm just kind of like, this is just what it is. Do you
physically
know what I mean?
Waist deep. So many toys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just swimming in toys. But I think it just kind of is what it is. I think I've reached a point in my life where you just kind of become more...
A Transformer?
No. Yeah.
Power Master. No.
Scrooge McTruck, not monkey. Yeah. Into the money bin.
Part of the collection.
Just trying to be like that kid in the... It turns into G1 Galvatron or Magnus or whatever in the advert. Just a
terrifying horror face.
Yeah.
Robots in disguise.
That guy. Yeah. No, I was going to say you become more comfortable with yourself, don't you, as you get older and everything, and you kind of become more... I don't know. I've always been fairly comfortable with myself, but you kind of become more... Like, this is who I am, I guess. And I think I've just...
Making settled. It sound like a resignation.
No. This is me. I think I've sort of settled to a point in my life where I'm like, yeah, I guess this is what I do. Do you know what I mean? And I've sort of amassed a certain amount. And not it is what it is, but because there's still a joy to it. But I think it's sort of become more a part of my life than before, I suppose, in that regard, that walking away from it would be a big prospect. And I don't want to even then. But I do think, and I do identify with the whole notion of too much stuff. And I think I'm at that point a little bit now, to the point where I'm like, actually, maybe I want to spend a bit more time with the collection that I have. And kind of going back to the other question, kind of curate that a little bit. Because there are lots of things like, oh, I haven't applied stickers to that toy that I've been meaning to do for 18 months. Or do you know what I mean? Things like that. Or like, oh, that toy needs a gun that I'm missing. And so maybe I'd rather spend the time focusing on those little things to actually kind of get some of the things to where I want them to be, sort the display out, that kind of stuff. And kind of work on it a bit instead of just amassing more necessarily.
For my part, I don't suffer from collector burnout or anything like that because I think I buy so many or dabble in so many different toy lines. Like one week I become obsessed with something else. It's hard to get burnt out on it because then I get bored of it and then just move on and go for something else. Like some weeks I get obsessed with Batman or Defense of the Earth or something and I'll be picking up those. And just I like picking bits and bobs. So with Transformers, I've come back and I buy a lot of it, but I never suffer from burnout from it. I just, if I don't like something, I just sell it on. You know what I mean? At the moment, I'm suffering from being overwhelmed by the amount of stuff I have in this room. Like it's got to the point where Matt said earlier about not wanting to take photos because this room's so full. I've got like that too because my desk, I'm putting stuff on it to keep it out of the way for a bit. And then it's like, oh, I can't bother to then move it again. And so I've then just started going through stuff. And it's like, it's quite easy to go through stuff because you do end up putting stuff like you're not that fussed about. Like when I move my shelves about, my drawer, sorry, and desk, I started just putting stuff in a little drawer that, you know, that was off of it. And it's like, I don't need this stuff. I don't really, it's cool, but I'm quite happy to let it go. So I'm just purging stuff again. Like I would quite like to get rid of some of the Titans now, like Predaking and...
They take up their room, don't they? Yeah, I'm going to move a couple of those
it's
on.
It's like having five or six bloody children just constantly stood there or like garden gnomes trying to trip you over all the time. You can't get round them as well, I think, with stuff like that. Like unless you've got a massive room with the space to display them. They become obstacles because you have to plant them somewhere and it's inevitably in front of something.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, I can't get to my bottom shelves of my stuff because I'm like, I have to move three or four other toys and something's leg will bend and I have to fall over and something will fall off and it's not worth the effort.
No, for sure. I just sold my Legends Grand Max and Fort Max and do you know what? The space realized just from those two toys going was like, my God, it's incredible just to suddenly be sort of free, if you like. And I don't miss them. I mean, they're nice enough toys and everything, and great, very happy that the people that bought them are happy. But yeah. I'm enjoying the space. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Titans Fortmax anyway, but having the G1 next to it, and you're like, it fulfills a similar, you know, role as being this giant toy. It's like, I don't need two. I'm quite happy with one.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Stuff like I can go in. Yeah. Also, I want a vintage Predaking, so I'd quite happily get rid of the Power of the Primes one.
The big guy.
Get that.
Curation.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got like all those Titans. I've got Fortmax, the Metroplex. I've got the Fans Toys Omega Supreme.
Oh, man, yeah.
And the... who else have I got in that? I think that's on his own, actually. But he's enormous. But it's in a press. So in the so it's part of the wall. And the shelves are a certain height that just fit those Titans, so it works fine in that bit. But yeah, they are... I always like the idea of being like architecturally able to build my... build a room around the collection. So you created a wall that was like a glass wall that you could put your collection into, so it becomes part of the architecture. And then it doesn't take up space as such, which would be cool. Mm. So you make them part
That'd
of...
That would be cool.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it? To like kind of that aesthetic. It's like whenever I go to museums and see how they display stuff and go, oh God, my collection would look cool if it was displayed like that, you know, and that type of thing. But ultimately, it's a space challenge, isn't it? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we all of us, I think we're all quite similar in that we don't want toys to rule our lives. I think we're all I can see you all nodding, so you'll know what I mean, but we all, I think, pride ourselves in having a life away from toys as well, and having what this is, although this is a big part of it, of, you know, in a hobby space, that it doesn't dictate everything about who we are. And so, like, for me, I'm very much like, it stays in the one room. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't I don't want Transformers all over my living room and things like that. Do you know what I mean? And that's important for me. So I think, yeah, there has to be boundaries.
It was the same. I was going to mention that as well, actually, because the thing that I like about having it in one room is...
You can not go in that room for a while.
Well, you can. You can close the door. Yeah. You can close the curtains. There's no light damage. But when people come over... And they, you know, they've heard about it maybe, like, so a lot of the mums and dads from, that we know, from school playground, and they came over. And I distinctly remember them walking into the robot room, as it's affectionately known. And the reaction was one of kind of just kind of disbelief and then wonderment.
Yes, yeah.
And there's something that definitely brings me back with why I collect, and it's lovely to see people's reaction to it. And then suddenly people are like, oh, I had that one. And do you have this one?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's a nice thing to do as well.
Yeah, that is nice. I get a similar thing when people come over here and see it for the first time. So, which is, yeah, you're right. That is nice. But I think it's different for me when you're just like random robots hanging out all over, like on your bedside table and things like that. That's just not where I want to be, and certainly not where not how I would want it to be for my wife as well, bless her. Do you know what I mean? I think that would be a bit unfair.
Too much.
So yeah. I think, containing it and being respectful of it, I think is for me anyway, it works. And I think helps me to avoid that feeling of burnout as well.
Totally.
Okay, so for the last question of the night, and I say this in advance, apologies to anybody that hasn't had their question read. We will come back and do more of this in the future in whatever format it takes. It might just be like a sequel to this or something, I don't know, but we absolutely will not forget those questions. But as it turns out, the old mailbag was quite full. But for the last question of the night, we're going to go to the Mapes Brothers, who you might recognize, and they sent us a good few questions. It's fair to say I've picked out a couple here, and we're going to do these quick fire yet again, so in a similar to how we did earlier. So just give us your quick answers on these, chaps, and let's see how we get on. Number one, what makes a good recolor?
Cool color.
I'd go contrast to the previous one. So whatever it was before, to go the other way.
Exactly. Distinct from the original.
Yeah.
I agree. That's what I was going to say. Exactly that.
Further away, the better.
Yep. Yeah. Something that just feels not opposite necessarily, but complementary to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starscream and Skywalker.
Makes it unique.
Yeah. It's really the exact same toy, so different.
Six shot and great shot. Just couldn't be more different.
Different faction entirely. Yeah, exactly those.
Yeah, I agree. Favorite Transformers logo? I don't know if they mean Tex logo. I presume maybe they do.
the original. I don't think nothing touches that shiny metallic look. I hated it when the comic changed from that, because there's something about that first G1 logo that I think is just perfect for what it is.
The two faction symbols from that era for me.
Yeah.
I quite like RID, actually.
Oh, what, 2001?
Yeah. Yeah, I quite like it.
With the kind of big bubble around it and everything.
Well, hang on. Was it that one? No, sorry, I'm lying.
Oh, yes. Right.
Hang on. Oh, this is where I need to check my database.
Oh, my gosh.
Nerds.
Jason's getting his spreadsheet out now.
I'm getting my
plugging
spreadsheet
into the mainframe. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
God, this is like a day job all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Is this episode sponsored by Microsoft Excel?
It was animated. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I really love that kind of really angled, the angled transformers split of the text.
Yeah. I love that.
And the box
shape. Funnily enough, I thought animated.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Popped, didn't it?
Yeah, the boxes are cool.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say the original as well. So just something so iconic about it even today. And I don't necessarily think that it's been bettered as such in, like, you know, they made it all metallic and grim for like the 2007 film. That didn't really sit as well with me. I kind of thought it was a bit bland. So I think, yeah, there's something so instantly iconic and memorable about the original for me.
The RID 2001 version is nice because it feels like a nice update of that with its own metallic different shapes, but it's very, you look at it and you go, someone's looked at that and gone, how do we modernize it? It's in the same DNA. That's also a really nice one. But that vintage one, the sharp angles, that color fade that goes across it, it looks like metal and it has the in front of Transformers, which is what it should be.
The
Transformers.
The Transformers, Transformers. Well, this is sort of a part two to that, I guess, because it's a favorite box or card packaging design.
From Transformers?
Yeah.
That's got to be the new retro G1 stuff that we're getting at the moment. I love that at the moment.
Nice. Yeah, it's our old Marcello on the box art, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does a great job with that. So, Maz, you said Target Masters?
Yeah, 87 Target Masters for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think that era for me, definitely. I mean, I don't want to say holistically all of G1, but certainly the Masters with the little window for the Nebulon. That is
defo.
Just stratospherically good in my eyes.
Yeah. My favourite toy package ever is Batman Returns, but in terms of Transformers, it's probably the Power Master ones. You know, it's got the lightning bolt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And also the little window.
Yeah, all of that stuff, but it's that little bit of lightning. I just think of the Power Master Optimus Prime package, I'm like, oh.
Also, a big shout out to Car Robots for just lovely, lovely colours. Just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, don't they? It's true.
The whole line, though, the whole franchise does good packaging, generally, I think. Pretty great. Okay, this should be a quick one. Creation Matrix or Matrix of Leadership?
Matrix of Leadership.
Yeah, Creation Matrix for me.
Ooh. Nice. Marvel UK boy.
Yes.
Too old draw here.
Yeah. Do you know, I kind of want to say Creation Matrix because it's what I grew up with, and I grew up with the comic primarily, but I think these days I've just become so used to hearing Matrix of Leadership that it's kind of earwormed its way in, perhaps, but... So my heart says Creation Matrix, but my head says Matrix of Leadership. Final question then of the night from the Mapes. Would you buy, this is not even a debate, would you buy a purple G1 Soundwave?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
100%. Of course.
Yes.
I'm always sad they haven't made it. Why? It needs to happen.
I mean, are they going to be surprised by that answer? I don't think so. So
I don't even read the comics and yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's a G1 toy in a different colour scheme. I'll buy it.
I didn't buy Balvintron, though, so maybe I wouldn't. I don't know.
It's Balvintron, though, isn't it?
Let's be honest.
I would buy a purple.
I got a Balvintron. I got Balvintron out today, actually, funny enough, for a photo. Reminded myself how ridiculous it is.
It's totally
like
ridiculous.
Someone's gone over it with little Crayola crayons, doesn't it?
It's very much like that. Yes, absolutely it is. But... I kind of love it in its own way. But anyway, that is the end of the mailbag episode. Thank you so much to all the patrons, just in general, really, like not only for submitting a question, but just a big thank you to you all for supporting us and everything that you do. It's absolutely incredible. So we, as I said, we will come back and do more of this in the future. But yeah, thank you so much. And speaking of the pod in general, and probably hitting on some of the themes that we've talked about tonight, some of the, you can guess which ones they are, but some salient points and some of the things, Maz, that you've sort of mentioned already. I guess you've got a bit of an update for us, don't you?
Yes. I have no idea how to say it. because I want it to not be too serious. Yes, I do have an update, and one or two of you may have been aware of this, as I might have mentioned it to you in private, but this will be my last main episode on Triple Takeover for a while. And it's no coincidence that we've got Jason here today. Yes, he is a guest. Yes, he's a friend of the pod. Yes, he was like almost the ideal person to bring in for just a chat about Transformers without a specific topic in mind. But Jason will be the third part of Triple Takeover going forward from this episode. I will still pop in from time to time. I think that's the idea, that I will contribute and I'll still be around. And every now and then I might be the guest, which will be fun. Or if Liam forgets to wake up, maybe you need a third member and I'll join.
Yeah.
Hey.
Bloody Gen Zers.
Always good to have a spare.
Yes, exactly. That'll be me. But yes, so also my Unicron Trilogy miniseries, we've already recorded that one, and we've mentioned when that one goes live that will be the last one of those for a while. So I'm not saying it's a permanent step away, but like with the decision made that I was going to give the collection room over to my son, he's old enough to have this room, I will consequently not have anywhere to record, which kind of made the decision a little bit easier. Some of you have mentioned that we put out a lot of content, and we really do put out a lot of content, and a lot of time goes into this podcast. A lot of love and respect and thought and effort goes into making this podcast. And I like to think that's why when we launched at a high quality, and it was just something we wanted to maintain and grow the whole way through. And so I would like to give that time to other things like my work, stuff to do with at home. And that's just something I would like to try for a while. And I think I'm really lucky in working with these three guys who have said, you're welcome back anytime, because it could have just been a situation where it's like, you're out, and this is Triple Takeover. It's three people. It's the whole point of the show. But I do have an open invite to come back, and I would love to come back. And I'm certainly not disappearing from the fandom, but for the time being, this will be my last main episode. So someone did get canned in episode 66. This is Order 66, Liam. Right. Someone did get it in the neck.
Waiting for a clone trooper to shoot you in the back.
Yeah. It'll be Fort Max finally out of his box. That'll be what it is.
Jason's just a little hologram of the laughing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just, yeah.
See, my vote would have been, Jason, that we could have just got you to do your best Maz impression and just carried on like nothing had changed.
Yeah, you've heard my impressions before. That never ends well, so.
Yeah, that's exactly true, why actually. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
That would be bad. I'm going to say, Maz, the bar is set high with me coming in your coattails. And,
good thing you're bloody tall then, isn't it?
It's true. That's true, actually. Yeah. But we're going to miss you. But it is, as you said, you come back and there's always a chair for you. Let's be honest. You know, you're part of the core team. And
exactly.
Chair.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I look forward to jumping in at some point, not too far down the line, actually. I will miss those More Than Meets the Eye recordings. I may not be able to stay away from those.
Yeah, well, we've said that we might get you in for some of those. We'll see. So I'm sure if Mr. Roberts makes another appearance, which he has threatened to at some point, you might want to jump in for that. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on availability. And
bring
that
up the other tweets he never answered.
Right, exactly. Yeah, someone's got to hold him to account. Otherwise, he's just, you know, running away with this stuff, isn't he? Just right, not answering exactly. Important
fan
questions.
We need that showdown, that face-to-face.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He wants a photograph of my stars card from the 80s for his book that he's putting together, so that could be a negotiation.
He's all take, isn't he? That's him.
Yeah, that's it. You see?
Yeah. What an absolute honestly.
Wow.
No, I didn't say that was a joke, obviously. Love James. Love him to bits. Joking aside, Maz, yeah, you are welcome back. And I think for clarity, this is not a kind of like musical chairs thing, you know, where one of us stands up and the other sits down. You know, if Maz, as and when he is ready or wants to come back or whatever it may be, you know, we're not going to suddenly have to decide who gives up a spot in that case. Although we are Triple Takeover, yes. You know, we can have four of us. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. So we shall see how it goes. And it'll be a new era. And Maz, it will be very sad not to do this with you on a weekly basis. But I'll
miss your face.
We all will.
Exactly. I shall personally, though, look forward to the times you do pop in.
Yeah, I look forward to it too. I think it's going to be extremely strange to see new episodes go out, which I've had no input into. The episodes will be a surprise to me. The content will be a surprise. Maybe it will be nice to be a listener and experience the podcast from not a creator point of view and give you loads of criticism like everyone else does. Well, that's not going to be a change, is it, really?
Right. What's going to be different?
Yeah. We're still just going to get his feedback constantly.
Right.
Yeah. This,
I'll just be doing this. No work instead of less work. Yeah.
We'll just get a rating.
Why have you used that font?
Yeah, right.
That was today, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just get your red pen out every time. Just send us a rating. Just a review, a little mini one-line review or something.
Give you grades.
Yeah.
About the new guy. Yeah.
Maz, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe.
I have. I'm a top fan now because obviously, this was really funny. I no longer have the admin rights on the Facebook group. I think it was the first thing I handed back. It's like, just take it. And the first thing Facebook did was like, would you like to claim your top fan badge for what you take? Because I'd liked so many posts.
Like, yeah, all right.
You are a top fan.
That's it.
Well, listen, man, I'll keep it brief, but I will say that there are a few people, you know, fellow fans or otherwise, that I hold in such high regard as you. So it's been a true privilege and an honor doing this with you. And you will be sorely missed, and you are welcome back anytime.
Thank you. It has been an endless pleasure, and I would love to come back.
And Jason, sure you're in for this?
100%. Yeah, this was great. Love it. And
great stuff.
What better way to talk about your hobby with you guys and then just see where it takes us? I'm really excited, actually. It's great.
Hobby? This is a lifestyle.
I was going to say,
Do you know what you've signed up for?
None of that attitude around here.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Are you prepared for the onslaught of new toys, having just talked about space and keeping it real and all of that?
Yeah, true.
Having nothing in storage.
Over the coming episodes, you can find out about my challenges.
I was going to say, he's got nothing behind him of robots, so that'll change.
That's true. Yeah, currently. Yeah.
Just get ready for it, mate.
I will. I am prepared, you know, although Transformers and Lego, that's where I'll try and stick to.
Oh, we should do a Lego episode.
Oh, now you want to do a Lego episode.
Yeah, man.
I see how it is.
We're going to do all the topics that you would want to do now, Maz. That's the thing.
Are we doing more Diaclone stuff next week? Is that what's
happening? Yeah, it'll be Waruda's next week, won't it? Yeah,
exactly.
The next Tapman might be Jason and the Wheeled Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Yeah, there we go.
I heard Sixer calling him Jace a few times. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, let him get through the door first.
Did I call him that?
Yeah.
Jace, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So my brother calls me Jace. And
there you go.
In good company.
You'll have to come back for that one, Matt.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it. Unless I do.
Can't wait.
And then I'll just listen to it.
Well, that brings us on nicely, Maz, to what I guess will be your final Patreon shout-out.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, do I still get to keep my Patreon perks if I'm no longer a member of the podcast? Do I still get to listen?
But man.
If you do want more content, and there is so much content, and of course there will be a new mini-series as well, so patreon.com/triple takeover, you've got access to all the stuff so far, all of those mini-sodes, over 50 now, in addition to all the episodes, and early access to new episodes, and you're going to want to know what the pod is like going forward. It's going to be a change, so that will be different. You'll get early access, you'll get on the Discord, get to know Jason, because Jason is already on the Discord now. He's been like poking his head here as Jay Swags. Are you on there as Jay Swags?
I'm on there as Jason though, but yeah, to be confirmed.
Well, you've got to change it to Jace now, haven't you?
I do, probably. That's a good point. Oh, no, I need to. Yeah.
So yeah, get onto Discord, speak to Jace. I'm calling him that now. Ew. But
Jace!
Yeah. Weekly exclusive content. That's mini-sodes that we have decided to focus more on, like the 1987 subgroups, or if it's something that you have requested, you can get to ask a patron question that we ask at the end of every episode that's separate to the ones we've done in this episode. And yeah, we could just sign up and say thank you. But yes, patreon.com/triple takeover. And of course, the other perk, if you sign up at Sixo's Butler and Goldbox Classic, is that you get your shout out at the show. I can't wait to see how these are when someone else takes over. So from me, a big final shout out to Nick, Danny Roberts, Andy Preston, Chris Spiderfather, Adam Schumacher, Matt Batsaday, Justin Messiah, Dave Arnold, Sir Geo Kaiser, Yusuf, John Paul, Choice, Vanity Cast, Captain R.A., Phil G. Watson, Laserbeak, Pete the Hunter, Peter Hampson, General Chris Norris, Jesse Marino, Nexus, Aaron Sabota, Billy Gator, Andy Gold, Cole Score, Simon Levin, Josh Crack, Tassie Plastic, Damasetta, Jeffrey Freak, Inbound Lee, Kyle Wilmer, Tim Ballinger, Ben Lewis, Lucas Henkel, Mons, Koenig, Malcolm Hobbs, CNC, Rick 56, Mythic Gears, Zach Lawson, Jason Murray, David Shepard, Esteem, Quick Mix, Josh Bell, Ash Bolt, Zindios, Christian Hyatt, Mark Ellie, Gray Moffat, Connor C., Burke Broder, Eric Hoyt, Bobby P., Mike Loy, Conan, Neil Bat, Tyler Husky, Chris Wadwell, Steve Redmond, Jim Kinsey, Sean T. Siegel, James Pascal, Ghost Prime, Jekyll, MK Tronic, Holdert, Walter, Charlie Chappelle, June Marigold, Jonathan Foz, Logic Howard, Lexis Taylor, Windows 6K, Tyler Dickinson, Jeremy Woodall, Ross, Jetfire, James Dogland, UK, Michael Cagle, Douglas Sean, Squid Catfish, Robert R. Kellisis, Michael Brand, Cam Lee, Miguel Gonzalez, Spider Bob, James Hook, Brandon Mahaffey, Collecticon, Chuck Goldbolt, Alec Trevelyan 2022, Riley Lentz, Emperor Galvatron, Matthew Devon, Spencer Butler, Alan Johnson, Anthony Baker, Adam Brady, James Turnham, Simon the Transform Closet, EMH Richard, Robin Hunt, RHA, Logan, Jetfire Prime, James Clark, Frank Corsimo, Atlas, Dave Beckett, Jeremy Canseco, Ben Erickson, Tony Hayward, Evil Plot Disease, Juan Carpintero, Clark Clint Gaming, Michael Gaxioli. Is he still laughing at that? Freedom is the Right, DJ Convoy, John Cole Dalton, Star Saber Fan 37, Private Random, C, Private Random, Rob Franklin, Protein, Digbysaurus, Anthony Fortunato, Menestrika, Dodge, Stevie P, 360verse, Traffic Cone, The Perfect Pixel, Saucy Fellow, Mark Bairstow, John R, and the Makes Brothers, who you might recognise. What a list.
Wow.
Amazing.
So, are you stepping back to take over from that guy off Storage Wars? You know, the guy...
I'm voicing Blur in Transformers 1. It's all been leading up to this.
They've literally named a cartoon after me.
So, who's picking that up from next week, then?
And it's not going to look the same, is it?
It's really not.
Yeah.
Should we split it?
I notice everyone's gone quiet now.
We'll split it over each person.
Right. We shall see, Galvatron. Yes.
Maybe just record me saying a new name once a week and you just insert it in.
That's it. Yeah.
Can you not just telephone in once a week?
I'll just click on the link every week and just pop it at
Could be
end.
Your legacy, Maz.
It could have you like out in different places so you get the wind going. Yeah. Like, where are you? I'm at the coast. There's a Force 9 gale kicking off.
I think that's a great idea. Actually, we could just send you the names of the new patrons every fortnight or whatever, and you just record those names and we tack them on to the existing list almost and just wheel it out. Like some Weekend at Bernie's situation. I don't know.
That's how I feel.
Right?
I would be Bernie.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to sign up for Sixo's Butler as a patron. You know, you get in.
I can still have access to the content.
That's true, actually. Yeah. We'll sort you out, mate. We'll do something. So
contacts.
Yeah, indeed.
You're a top fan after all.
That's it. Top fan. Yeah, number one. Fan. I have a G2 Omnibot mug.
Yeah, you'll still be around anyway. This is not like Maz died on his way back to his home planet or whatever, is it? This is, you're still here and present. So
yeah.
I know.
Anyway, we do also have a sponsor for the evening, and that is tfsource.com. So do check them out for all your Transformers and third party needs.
This is me again.
This is you, Liam, yes. As it is every episode.
Okay. Well, as you leave it, Maz, I've been going through the old Instagram messages there, and there was one more that stood out.
Was there?
Yeah. Someone, because I know you live in Iceland where it's cold, so, you know, this one might resonate with you, but we had one from Canada, in fact, for Winston from Churchill in Canada, the land of the polar bears. He was saying, you know, he lives up there by the Arctic Circle. He's cold.
This is me headbutting the microphone.
He likes a cup of coffee, you know, a cup of Joe, I believe the Americans call it in that North American place. But
is that what the Americans in Canada call it?
Yeah, it's North America, that's the continent, Maz. Come on, geography's fam. But he was saying, you know, oh, it's cold here. Could you recommend some sort of receptacle for carrying coffee around? I'm like, dude, I believe we have that on our Rebel one. I believe it's called, I'm reliably informed, a travel mug or a reusable coffee cup, and you can get that in all sorts of colors with stickers and triple takeover nonsense all over it if you want, man, at rebel.com/triple takeover/people/triple takeover/explore.
Yes, that's right.
Just an FYI, our regular mugs are also reusable. Just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. And just don't have a lid. Dishwasher safe.
I don't know why you're laughing. That's like a real thing. What's funny about dishwasher safe?
Just, you know, making sure they know. Winston.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, just making sure he knows. I don't want him to buy a faulty product. Oh,
Winston.
Product, you know?
Winston. Yeah. Love it. From Churchill.
Winston from Churchill. Oh, my God.
Well, sounds familiar.
It's the land of the polar bears. That's where
the land of the polar bears. But is it, really?
That's what Churchill's famous for. That's where they a lot of polar bears around there. That's its thing.
Now we're going to get letters, I can tell you. Are we on social media as well, Liam?
Oh, I am glad you asked. Yes, we are. We are at Triple Takeover, all one word, on Facebook, and at @triple_takeover on Instagram and Twitter, which I believe is correct because I've said it about 60 times at this point. So it's got to be. And yeah, so guys, where can they find you?
Go on, Maz.
I am at TF Square One on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky, if you would like to stay in touch.
I'm at 6OTF on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, where else? Blue Sky, Threads, some other places.
Jason, as the new guy, where can people find you?
The easiest place to find me is at jasonwagner.co.uk.
Website address?
Oh my gosh.
Do you know where that's going to take them, though, Mass? That's going to take them to the article that we did about my collection. So that'll be a nice... Okay. So TF Source.
It's a nice place to be, to be fair.
And then once I sort myself out, I'll have all of the connects. Otherwise, that's just going to be a long list that we don't have time for.
Fair enough.
That could be the new shout-out list, all of Jason's different social media.
Over here.
Exactly.
Just shout it down. What about you, Liam?
I am at Toybox Soapbox. Anywhere there's an at. I almost said I'm at Triple Takeover. Anywhere there's an at, which would be untrue.
You are Triple Takeover, indeed.
I'm involved.
Well, thank you so much again to all the patrons that wrote in had wonderful questions for us. We really appreciate it, and we'll be back again to do that some other time. And thank you indeed once more to Maz for being such a wonderful part of this podcast over the last 2 years or so. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We'll miss you, man. Miss you, dude.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah. Come back soon.
Very soon.
So yeah, big thanks, Maz. All of which is to say, the battle is over, but the galaxy-spanning adventures of the Triple Takeover team will continue, and the greatest one of them all, Maz, will return.
Unicron head.
Yeah, spinning around the planet.
That should be the episode art. It's just Maz's head floating around Cybertron.
and then lion. Please do the head. Yes, please do the Unicron head.